This is PFW in Progress.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. Patch.
PFW in Progress.
I grew up in a tough neighborhood. We used to say you can get further with a kind word and a gun than you can with just a kind word.
With Fred Kirsch.
You afraid to come out from behind your men? You afraid to stand up for yourself?
You want to do it now? You want to do it mad now?
What's the gabagool? She's like, there's no gabagool. He's like, there's no gabagool.
What?
Easy.
You talk to me like that in front of my son? You and your family.
Paul Ferrillo.
Isn't that just like a wop? Brings a knife to a gunfight.
Get out of here, you daggle bastard.
And Andy. And Andy?
Yes, I knew it. That's all you need. One thieving wop on the team. I said that you're a lying member of a no-good race.
Andy Hart.
Much better than you, you stinking Irish pig.
Oh, I like
it. Some guy named Tom.
I want that son of a dead. I want him dead. I want you to get this where he breathes. I want you to find this Nancy boy. I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burnt to the ground.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at by Gary because I didn't have my mic on.
And you missed your own little joke because of it.
Well, I told you on Thursday we'd see you on Tuesday, and we are. Here we are.
Here we are.
So, oh boy, big, huge shout out to Doug from Blackstone, who is today's provider, and he just went all out. He sent me one meatball for every Patriots regular season win. Or
those,
actually win.
Unfortunately,
those suck.
That equates to 16 really bad meatballs.
No, Doug, don't listen to him. I think the Papagino meatballs are fine.
It's true. Fred really loves them.
I like them.
They are Chef Boyardee meatballs, only bigger.
No, they're not.
They're absolutely they're disgusting.
Good. Eric, did you have a meatball?
No, thanks.
We all tried them, and we didn't like them, Fred.
Well, you guys have a...
Lori couldn't swallow.
Really?
I beg your pardon?
She always...
Oh. Lori's here. Lori got some wings.
Yeah, she got her own thing of buffalo wings.
Wow.
Fred, if it was good, I'd say it was good. It's just not good.
Yeah, why would we care?
Like, because you just like to bust my chops.
We do.
That's
but,
true.
But we would also say that the meatball was good.
Lori is an unbiased... yeah,
Lori,
we're
busting
your
meatballs.
Lori,
you didn't like the meatballs? Really? I like the meatballs.
Terrible.
You would think, though, that Papagino's, they've been in business for a long time. They sell a lot of meatballs. They'd have a good meatball. I think it's pretty good.
So McDonald's has been in business for a long time. Do you consider that a phenomenal hamburger?
Well, they do something right.
Yeah, fat people with no money go there and buy food.
Well, you got me pegged.
But do you order meatballs anywhere else?
He said with no money.
That's you got me pegged.
Oh,
but
come
I'm just
on.
Saying that's the they're not catering to the upper class people.
What
Fred.
Are you comparing that meatball to? Like, do you have
any other meatball
anywhere?
You get in a restaurant? So I'm not talking about your mother's meatballs.
I'm not either. I'm not going to hold them to that high standard. I'm just talking about a regular meatball at a restaurant. These stink.
All right. Anyway,
we broke him.
Doug,
all right, they stink.
Doug writes in, I hope everything arrived
okay.
You know,
I love Doug.
I hope I got the ziti and meatballs right, Fred. Don't forget to finish your plate. One meatball for every regular season win last year. You can handle it. Wow. I'm looking forward to the draft this weekend and all the helpful knowledge you guys bring. Just looking at the last few years, would we have known that Joseph Addai was just a guy? Would we have known that Alan Branch wouldn't be there at the end of round one? Or Chris Henry not being taken till the fourth or fifth round. Mel Kiper, eat your heart out. Just joking. I know this will be another great draft. And P.S., tell Lori if Kyle messes with her buffalo tenders, she has permission to kill. So Lori is here just munching down her tenders. Unbelievable.
We do have to, you know, you got to give Alan Branch one more year. Well, I mean, he's only
I
been
could always eat
one
your
year.
Salad.
He was inactive most of the
Well, I'll say we need to give Joseph Addai a year not playing for the Colts.
I want to know. I go to Patriots.com and it says you guys are going to start the blog on April 21st and there's nothing up there yet. What's going on?
I just.
Webmaster error.
By the end of the day, Fred, there's going to be like 50 posts.
Yeah, don't worry.
Okay, from you.
And Andy.
Well, today's the 22nd. You're a day late.
Well,
it was a
no,
holiday.
Then Chris screwed that up because it was. We weren't here yesterday, Fred.
So you can blog from anywhere in the world. You don't have to be sitting at your desk.
I know, but it was a holiday. We had the day off. I'm
Plus
not
most
working.
Important
not on my off day.
I think I need to contact Janet to find out what my password
this
is.
This guy, Fred.
Manny Ramirez was supposed to blog yesterday.
Fred, you have the nerve to criticize our draft coverage. You should be ashamed of yourself.
All I know is that I went to the website. It says starting April 21st.
We're not responsible for
website. And I go up there, and there's nothing there.
That's because you hired four good writers and one terrible webmaster. Do your job.
Wow.
Oh, that was sweet. You even included everything in that.
I am touched.
I would think, though, that someone would tell Chris, hey, it's not going to be till the 22nd, but nobody cares.
You would think Chris would know that we had a day off yesterday.
I didn't even see it. But starting after this show, there'll be plenty of stuff up on that blog.
I don't know if you know, talking to Chris is one of the worst things you can do in your life. So the more you avoid it, the better it is.
I want to tell everyone in listening range that this is going to be a huge weekend. And I want to get 500,000 people on the site this weekend.
Okay.
I think we can do that.
Say we go nude photos.
500,000 unique people on our site.
Look at you, Lori. Anybody?
I think we can do it.
I think we can do it.
500,000. We got to do better than you.
Yep.
Where's that 18-year-old? Throw her on there.
Yeah, Tom's in love with that 18-year-old.
I guarantee you, you put a naked 18-year-old chick on Patriots.com, you'll get your 500,000.
Yeah.
I agree.
500,000 days in jail is what I'll get. All right, webradio at patriots.com is email address, webradio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Draft rumors are all over the place. I saw Peter King. He thinks that Vernon Golston's going to be available at 7.
That's a common perception now.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's gone. He was the number one overall pick like 2 weeks ago, and now he's back where he's going to be available at 7.
Well, yeah, someone's going to have to be, because if you look at it, Jake Long's not going to be there. I don't think the two defensive tackles will be there. So there's three guys right there. Then you start throwing in Chris Long and
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, if he goes, McFadden.
Yeah.
So
and player that we're not mentioning that somebody might fall in love
trade
with.
Up it and get. So someone's going to be there. And if it's Golston, you'd think that the Patriots would think long and hard. Now, Fred,
you want to talk about my hell? If they pass on Vernon Golston.
What do you think about that, Fred? Say Golston's on the board and they take an offensive tackle instead. How would you feel about that?
I'd be a little disappointed.
But I'm going to swear.
But then again, you know, how do we know? You know, but the big news is that the Dolphins are supposedly negotiating with Jake Long and Vernon Golston.
Well, no, it sounds like now it's a done deal with
Long. It's
pretty
much done. Long's going to be the first.
Yeah, okay. Reports are that they could sign it today.
Now, are you surprised that they're taking this guy number one?
No, I finally heard my first good argument for Jake Long.
Okay.
That Parcells wants to have a 55-45 run-to-pass ratio, and he likes to run right. They're going to draft Jake Long, make him their right tackle, a run-blocking right tackle, and run behind him for the next 10 years.
Now, I know that these rounds are slotted, but is there any chance that Jake Long takes less than the average first-round pick, first number one pick?
Well, less than last year.
That's part of the whole deal,
okay,
according
to
Miami.
So now, how does this set up, though? Because Jake Long has the same agent as Vernon Golston, right? So if he's making less than the average one, how does that affect 2, 3, 4, 5, blah, 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 till you get the goal? And how does that work? I mean, in other words, is a number one pick allowed to take that much less?
I don't think he's taking that much less.
It's not going to be a ton less.
No.
It's going to be, first of all, is you're saying we're not giving you the, 8% they usually throw out there as the raise from year to year. So you're subtracting the 8% and a little. But it's still going to be
$55 million
or whatever.
He's going to get more than Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, just not as much more as Andy just pointed out.
And it's going to be the
percentage
of
the normal race.
It's going to be the same thing every year. Say Ryan goes fourth or fifth.
Right.
He's going to say, well, according to Peter King, they drafted a right tackle. I'm a quarterback.
Right.
I want more money.
It still gets down to a team and a player negotiating, and the team is trying to pay less and the player is trying to get more. The question I think, is shady. If I'm Vernon Golston, and I hear reports that the Dolphins wanted to negotiate with me, potentially as the number one overall pick, and he's working to get the that's a conflict of interest. I'm out. I want a new agent.
Can it be possible that a number two pick can make more money than a number one pick?
Anything's possible.
I suppose it's a possibility. I don't think it would ever happen.
Said team would have 31 other teams that were very upset with that team.
Right.
I'm just wondering, why. I know what you're saying about, scheme-wise, why they want to get this right tackle. But is he worth a number one overall pick?
I don't think
pick?
He is, Fred.
No,
I don't
but
think
a lot of people don't believe there's a single player worthy of a number one overall pick.
I also agree with that.
But I think the two defensive tackles would make the most impact near the top of the round. Now, maybe the Dolphins don't need one of those guys. I don't really know that. But if Andy is saying is true, and Paul said this upstairs, a run-blocking right tackle – I think I can find those guys. I really do. Like, those are guys I can find in the fourth round. I can find, you know,
right.
in free agency. Yeah.
If right. that's it's your... not like he's a left tackle.
Now, if you were the Patriots.
I don't care if it's a left tackle. I don't really want to take that guy number one. I mean, I look at guys like Orlando Pace, right, and Jonathan Ogden and guys like that. Orlando Pace was the number one overall pick in the draft, and that's a great pick. He was a great player. He is a great player. I don't want to take that guy in there. Even if you tell me he's going to be that great, I want to take another position that's harder to find. How much better does Orlando Pace make the Rams' offensive line than if they had Matt Light mm-hmm. that they took, let's just
well,
say, in the second round?
You could argue that they had a great stretch there of offense.
He's great. I'm not arguing against the
timing.
Player.
They had the
and
time.
And he's a premier left tackle, not a run-blocking
well, yeah,
tackle.
That's the big issue I have.
But,
I mean,
but I'm
all,
saying
since
even
day one when I heard Mel Kiper last November say, well, you got Jake Long, who's a run-blocking right tackle, who's not as good as Joe Thomas.
Right.
And why are we talking about Jake Long? I asked you about the top prospects.
That only makes it even bigger. But I'm saying if you took away Orlando Pace, I think he's been outstanding for the Rams. But what you don't know, and it's impossible to determine because it didn't happen, how much worse off would the Rams' offense right. have been if they had just taken some no-name guy in the third round and plugged him in at left tackle for the last 10 years?
Because the era I just spoke of also included Marshall Faulk and...
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm certainly not going to be willing to say that record-setting offense was as a result of Orlando Pace, much like I'm not going to say the Patriots' record-setting offense right now is a result of Matt Light.
Yeah, and I
who's
see,
all pro is in quotes
right.
permanently.
But I could say, like, say the Patriots have the number one pick because of San Francisco. One of their only weak spots on this team is right tackle. Like, that's one of the spots you could be upgraded. So now if they wanted to take a run-blocking right tackle, to me that makes sense because you're so much talented everywhere else. The Dolphins could go in about 55 different
right.
directions,
right.
and they're worried about a run-blocking right tackle.
See, to me, you know, with Jason Taylor getting older, Vernon Golston makes more sense because he could play sort of that end position or he could play outside linebacker, but he could also play defensive end in a 4-3. You know, so that would be like Jason Taylor's replacement.
Now, is anyone else surprised? Now, maybe they've tried this and no one's interested, but is anyone else surprised they haven't entertained more trade-down offers?
Well, I'm sure they have.
But
I think it just tells me that no one really yeah. wants to do it.
I yeah. think everybody they talked to probably offered like 75 cents on the dollar, and Parcells said, well, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but that would be my guess. Because, yes, I am a little surprised by that, Tom.
But the Saints apparently want to get up to number two to take Dorsey. So what if the Rams weren't interested in trade? You know what I mean? Like, it seems to me they might have played their hand a little bit too early because the Patriots, we know, are great at misinformation. How come they didn't float a Dorsey out there? You know what I mean? Like, now that we know that the Saints are interested in him, maybe they could have floated out some, you know, well, now we're negotiating with Dorsey. Now maybe the Saints call Miami and say, well, we'll bump this up a little bit. I like when teams play the game up all the way to the end.
I'd like to see the Patriots somehow trade down, not go by the chart, give it away 75 cents in the dollar and end up with Dan Connor and a cornerback in the first two rounds. I'd like that.
Why are you in love with Dan Connor?
I have a feeling he's going to be a very productive middle linebacker, inside linebacker in the NFL, run stopper, just a, you know,
what do you think
a
his
solid
ceiling
player.
Is? What's his
need.
Ceiling?
We need a solid player.
And you'd rather have
I'd
that,
like a playmaker. I'd like an impact player. Yeah,
well, he's going to make a lot of tackles. That's to me, that's
yeah,
a
playmaker. Yeah, so did Teddy Bruschi last year. He led the
Look,
team with tackles.
You,
he didn't have an impact.
You put Dan Connor in the
no
middle
impact.
And let Adalys Thomas make the plays, okay? That's why we got
now,
Adalys
now,
Thomas.
Fred, can I ask
we
you a question?
We tried that last year, too.
You said the two positions. Can the other pick be Antoine Kaysan so at least one of those picks pans out?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't. I mean,
why are we drafting solid players? I want Pro Bowl All Pro players in the first round.
And this is not a
solid
on
the third
Connor
round.
Because
no.
I don't hate Connor. I think Connor is much better than I thought Posluszny was at this time.
Dead
last
on.
Year.
He's going to be a solid player.
I think he is solid. I just don't know if
our
he's
lads.
A guy. I don't know if he's a guy you target.
In quotes.
I don't know if he's a guy you target.
Right.
We're targeting
I'm
solid
talking
players
in the second round. By the way.
No, you said first.
No, I said
first two picks. You're
the first two picks, a cornerback and.
So how right, how are we going to make a trade to get down there? What are we going to do?
I give, you know.
Well, he I'm admitted not, he'd give it away.
No, no, no I'm not. That, I wasn't. I didn't mean that as a
you're
shot.
Giving away draft picks willy nilly over here.
Yeah, I was legitimately asking.
You're
I
looking
didn't mean
for
that as a shot.
You're looking for a low first round pick and a high second round pick in exchange for seven.
Oh, no, maybe up not even a high second.
So
round
he goes
pick
to the team that's picking 27th, and he goes, "I'll give you seven for 27."
The one thing that really stuck out to me,
I'd be willing. All right, idiot. I'd be willing to, you know, say low first round this year and a second round next year.
Well, how are you going to get the corner and
Connor's not
Connor
in the draft next year?
Because now I have a low first round, And I have a second round pick.
The second round, he's not going to be around at that second round.
You said you were taking a corner
maybe,
with the low
not.
First.
So now
you're trading back up in the second. All to get Dan Conner.
This is part of what I was getting at, though.
Seven.
The one big thing that stuck out to me was from Bill's press conference last Wednesday was his talking about that gap between 7 and 55.
Can only trade down so far.
Was it 7 and 62? What is it?
Yeah, he
62.
Yeah.
It was. It's 55 spots, I think. Something like, whatever it is.
Anyway,
from the top of the first round to the bottom of the second round, that's a huge hole there that they have to try to close up. And I'm not sure it's that easy. Even when you go in the other way,
Fred, and you're
willing to kind of give away 70 cents on the, you know, whatever. I don't think, you know.
Maybe that'll stun the team at 27. Wait a minute.
Andy's
before. What's going on here?
Aside, I think it's
7 for 27.
It's a difficult spot to get that. That end of the first round, early second round is a really tough spot for the Patriots to get, given what they have to deal with. Either way, even if you want to say, all right, look, I'm giving you a little more than. You can't just let them, you know.
Yeah,
kill you on the trade.
A lot of the guys, Fred, and when I was doing that thing for Patriots Today, the producer said, you say a lot that it's going to be hard for the Patriots to get this guy. Because it seems to me a lot of the guys that we think are good and that would fit here are going in that late first, early second round area. And the problem, how do you get there if you're the Patriots? Like, if you like Quentin Groves, where do you go to get him? You know, if you like Kaysan, those guys are going to be tough for the Patriots to get. I got a feeling they stick where they are. And take a player at 7.
I kind of do, too.
Because I think where they're going to go down to, I don't know if they're going to get any more. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't know.
The trouble is, you have Belichick and his whole, I'm an economics major and value is the, and it feels like he's going to get less value if he makes the pick. Guy's not going to be worth $18 million at 7, but if he tries to trade out, he's not going to get value with the trade coming back. So, either way, he's going to be pissed because he feels like he's getting screwed.
I think you hit it on the head. Teams don't really want to trade up that badly.
Right.
And I don't think the Patriots don't just want value. They kind of want more than value.
Right.
And I don't think he's going to get that. And I think at the end, he's just going to sit there at 7 and take the best player on their board.
And if
TG and NJ says, you guys are off to a great start. You're talking about balls and Lori can't swallow. Nice. Oh, that's terrible. What is the chances of the Patriots eyeballing a guy that we haven't even considered? In that first round?
I'd be shocked.
I'd be surprised, especially when Bill the other day said, you know, there's only a handful of guys we're looking at. And
that doesn't mean that they're the guys we're looking at.
Well, Fred, I think when you pick 27th, I think there's a much greater chance of that happening. When you pick 7th, there's kind of only a group of guys that it can be. I mean, they're not going to take a guy who's supposed, like Quentin Groves, for instance, who we all really like, might end up being maybe the 7th best player to come out of this draft. But value-wise, you're just not going to take him at 7.
Okay. I'd be stunned.
Yeah. All right.
Can you give me an example of a guy that you would put in there as like a truly shocking pick, a guy that we haven't talked about at all?
Sam Baker.
Oh, this year, I don't know, but I'm just saying in the past.
That's what I was getting at because I usually like how every year, no matter who they take, everybody says, well, no one saw that one coming.
Right.
When I think that was true about Logan Mankins.
Sort of true.
No, I mean, I don't know anybody who knew that was coming.
Not in the first round.
And us fans. But by all reports, wasn't it the Niners who were ready to take him with the next pick?
No, I'm not talking. I'm assuming that
Sam Baker, tackle, USC.
I'm assuming that the teams all know all the players, Andy. I'm going to make that assumption. I meant us.
Oh, okay. I was just making. Well, I think that gets overblown. Everybody says, Logan Mankins, some teams had him as an 8th round pick or whatever. Well, you know, the team
that
was
they
after
supposedly
them.
Took him. Scott said, right,
that's my point.
Yeah, Scott said right off the go, they took him because they wanted to keep him away from San Francisco.
Right. So let's not pretend he was this ridiculous reach of a diamond in the rough and they were the only ones that saw the diamond.
I'm just talking about
Black Beauty wasn't in a field of white mice.
It seems like every year that they make a pick, everybody jumps all over themselves and says, wow, no one saw that one coming, or another surprise pick by the Patriots. Another example of no one knows what this team is going to do. When I look at it, realistically, the last couple of years, I think we've nailed the picks. I think we had a very good idea that we were going to take a running back 2 years ago, and everybody laughed at us. And we had a very good idea that we were going to take Merriweather last year. Specifically, Merriweather was the guy that we all kind of targeted. But yet, whenever they make a pick, they always say, no one saw that coming.
Well, I think in the
past, about Watson? Was he
Watson
surprised?
And Graham.
Watson.
They had already had.
Watson was surprising in that they already had the tight end.
Right.
So that was a little bit.
Yeah,
of a
we didn't talk
pick.
About him.
No, we
were right.
Well, no. And I think that's where people are getting it from. You have the Watson and the Mankins, and then now they say, well, you never know what the Patriots are going to do. But if you look at it more realistically, you can predict it a lot more than you don't. And that's when you're at the end of the draft. I think first round you can do a lot more things here. I don't think you're going to get a guy that no one's expecting, because I think Bill,
yeah,
the guys Bill likes are the same as everyone else.
Right. Were you surprised
big,
when
fast.
They traded up to get Chad Jackson?
No.
I was a little.
Well, I mean, that's the second round.
I was surprised. No, Chad Jackson was still on the board.
I'm always one of
Chad
our special
Jackson.
Picks.
I'm always surprised. I know.
I believe
I'm always
I used
surprised.
The word rape.
I'm always surprised when boy, I'm never surprised when we trade up in the second round, because we do that a lot. Yeah, they traded up for Matt Light in the second round. Also, I think there was a trade in the second round
that's
involving
true.
The Eugene Wilson, Bethel Johnson year. Mm-hmm. They trade a lot in the second round. So I mean, did I know they were going to trade up and get Chad Jackson? No. But I do remember Tom's reaction was that. He was immediately calling that a lopsided trade.
And it was. The Packers got Greg Jennings. And
Well, still, this could be the year for Chad Jackson. It's got to be the year.
Let's face it, if it's not, we were all wrong on that, because all of us were in agreement that we loved that player, that pick, and everything about it.
You look at the guy, and he's got Pro Bowl written all over him.
I'm getting laughed at now on AskPFW.
Gave up on that.
Because I predicted that he would be starting this year outside of Randy Moss on the other side.
All right. I don't think that's... I mean,
yeah, I'm going down with the ship.
He's stalwart. I that's one. Of
I think that he could reasonably replace stalwart.
Yeah,
but you got
it's either that or bust. Though.
That's if there's a chance he's not on the team.
That
no
sounds
question.
Like one of my predictions.
But no, but it's not really that far fetched.
No, it
is because you're looking at either probably him or Gaffney.
Right.
Because
Welker's
a starter,
and I just
but
don't
he's
think
a, he's
yeah, and I don't think Gaffney makes sense, because I think he's more of a slot guy. I think he's better as the fourth. You know, the second slot guy in four wide sets. I think he's valuable in that role. But what were we talking about? I don't know if it was the show or if it was on one of the podcasts, and we were talking about him last week, Chad Jackson. And I said, you know, am I being too optimistic here, thinking that he might start? And really, when you look at it, it's really not. I mean, I think there's a chance that he just never gets it and he's gone soon. But
you got to give him
too
that,
much physical.
Yeah.
He's already a bust in my mind.
Well, I think
got to give him 3 years.
I think you're right. But
I
that's
thought
how
he was
you go.
Special.
I just don't
He's
think that
special.
They would waste time if they thought he was
LeBron
a bust.
James, 23-10-7, first game.
Well, you
special.
Know, Tom, in order to be special, you have to
be
special.
Be special from the beginning.
The first time you put a cleat on that field, you need to be special in order to be special in Andy's mind.
Despite all the hype, it wasn't until this year that we found out LeBron James was
no.
special.
That's not
Andy
true.
Andy
no. I said test. He was great. He passed the eyeball test. But I told Paul the first game he played, he was special. You didn't hear me saying that about Durant, Kevin Durant. Name the last guy who was special, who didn't become special until like year
Kevin
four.
Kevin Durant really good?
Kevin Durant had
really
it.
Good, not special.
Well,
two different things. Not special.
Didn't you see him play once?
Probably haven't seen him play all year.
Kevin Durant is not LeBron James. I agree with Andy again.
And LeBron James is special.
You're an idiot.
Special is a high class. It's like Fred's Hall of Fame, where there's like one guy per position. Except here, Patriots.
Will Matt Ryan go in the top six?
No.
No, says Tom.
I say
that
he's,
doesn't leave a lot of leeway, because Mel Kiper said if he's, what did he say, if he doesn't go by seven, he's retiring. He'll leave this to McShay.
But let's look at
that's bad for the Patriots.
So you got
Golston.
Let's look at the teams, though. You're Atlanta and Baltimore are the two teams, right?
Kansas City also.
Baltimore
is eight.
Kansas City's
five. If I'm Kansas City, I'm taking a quarterback because –
Now,
Will
see,
Croyle
to me, that one,
it's 3-5, Atlanta and Kansas City, right?
To me, that one would shock me, and I'll tell you
and
why.
And don't rule out the Jets either, by the way.
Mm-hmm. The Kansas City would shock me, because I haven't heard anything coming out of Kansas City about him. And Herm's not, he's the exact opposite of Bill Belichick. He's kind of like in the Denny Green class, where he can kind of get a good feel for what they're doing. And I'm thinking either trade down or offensive lineman, because that's what they're talking about in Kansas City. I don't know. If he gets by those...
I mean, no question.
Tough.
If he doesn't, if Atlanta doesn't take him and Kansas City doesn't take him, now you're kind of relying on a trade up for Baltimore.
He did spend a lot of time with Ryan at the pro day, though. Herm did. You know, you got.
Well,
that.
Yeah. Well, so I could just see him being the guy that slips this year simply because there's not a lot. Normally, when you pick in that high, you got a bunch of teams looking for quarterbacks, and the guys that are coming out are pretty good, so you can also trade up. I don't think there's going to be a big trade up for Ryan, so he's going to have to go to a couple teams or he could slip.
So you think he could slip further than Quinn did last year?
I don't know. Not that much.
But that kind of a slip. I think you're right.
Oh, he won't slip that far.
The thing,
I think that could happen.
What was that, 22?
But the thing that got to me was when they said Parcells broke down Beck, and they thought he thought he was by far and away better than any quarterback in this class. I don't know if John Beck's going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. Oh, you know what
Bill
I mean?
Bill Parcells thinks that John Beck is far and away better than any quarterback in this class.
He broke down every play of John Beck last year and from BYU because they wanted to see if they needed a quarterback.
Yes.
And according to Parcells, he said, compared to the quarterbacks coming out this year, John Beck is better than all of them. So that's why they're not looking at taking a quarterback.
Now we know that Parcells is no longer special and has lost it.
He'll be taking Matt Ryan.
Which is weird if he already has
Jake Long signed.
Well, how about
with the first pick they select Matt Ryan and Jake Long goes, hey, whoa, I already signed.
That's not a deal, right? They haven't announced.
No, they haven't announced it.
They're going to announce Saturday. It this week.
Yeah. Well, now, what would happen? Would they have to pay them both?
I forgot about John in L.A.
Oh,
is he still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, sorry about that,
He doesn't
that,
got
John.
A job. Don't worry about it.
That's all right. Paul, there is nothing lower than being laughed at by FTFW writers.
That's true.
I mean, not FTFW, the guys writing in. They are the mouth-breathing window lickers of Patriots.com.
Ah, well.
Without them, we wouldn't have jobs.
So
what are callers to PFW in progress?
We're the varsity, and they're not even junior varsity.
They're like that.
Middler team.
Is this the varsity at the School of the Blind?
I don't know. I wanted to ask about Jake Long. You guys have said a lot about him in terms of not being up to the top competition, like Golston when they played at Ohio State. But are there other examples, or is it just that?
Well, I know he didn't have a great game against USC.
Uh-huh.
I'm not exactly sure who he went up against that game. From what I've seen looking at him and watching those Ohio State games over again, it's that first step. And that's something I don't know if you can teach. That first step off the ball, he's a little slow, and guys like Golston get the edge just enough to where they get position on him, and then they go by him. And I think you can teach a lot of things, but if you don't have that off-the-ball quickness, that's the one thing that's tough to teach, in my opinion.
That's why I never thought Marquise Hill ever did that well. He was slow. I mean,
Coming off the ball.
He never really,
He was also up before he was out.
You did say that a lot about him,
yeah.
That he seemed to be, and I thought his technique was a little bad, not really knowing what I was looking at, but didn't look the same as the other guys.
He was a tall guy who played tall.
Played high, yeah.
Right,
What did they see in him then to want to keep him around? Because he seemed to be,
LSU
They
guy.
Saw that they drafted him in the second round. Yeah. It would look stupid
to
by
To be honest
him.
With you, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I think there's a good chance that he wouldn't have been part of the team last year.
No, I think that was a bad pick. Second round pick.
To be honest with you, I was worried that Fred brought up his name because
I thought
sometimes he makes bad jokes.
And I thought something insensitive was coming. But
no, let's face it.
So we figured it out. If you pass away, Fred is willing to say it was a bad pick.
What else you got, John?
I've been thinking a lot since the beginning of this past season that were it not for the cheating. The Patriots could be
coming into three Super Bowls.
19-0 and with three number one picks because they would have had the two. And then if Rodney hadn't gotten caught for HGH, I think that the Patriots might have had more leverage in the Asante Samuel thing, and they would have said, "No, you hold out. We'll sort of manage." And then when this offseason came, they could have actually dealt him for a number one. That would have been nice.
Yeah. Well, no, he was a free agent.
No, but they could have franchised him.
No, they could have franchised him, but because they were sort of in a...
So they wouldn't have made the deal, you're saying, not to franchise him.
Help me out on the timetable here.
Because he's saying when...
I know what he's saying, but help me out on the timetable here. When did they make that announcement that Samuel was not going to be franchised? They made that agreement with Samuel.
Midway through camp.
And when was Rodney's suspension announced? That was earlier?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That was right before
the season.
Right before the
season. I remember it happening right around the same time and being like, oh, great, now we've just lost our leverage with Samuel. And then like 2 days later.
Oh, maybe you're right. I thought that was before. I thought the suspension happened after.
But
you might be right, John.
No, I think, John, you are right. Now that you said that, I think you're right.
And maybe that did have something to do with it. Maybe they felt like they didn't want to be without both of those guys the first four games. They had to do something to ensure that Samuel was going to be back. That makes sense if they did.
It was unlike them to cave. I remember thinking and talking to people and saying, there's no way they're going to cave. Why would they? Don't need to. They're fine. And then that happened. I was like, why the hell did they cave? And then you found out about the Rodney thing.
Well, I think they also, I mean, even, I think that's logical.
Yeah, we talked about
what you're saying. What you're saying is logical. But I also think that even without that, they may have thought to themselves, we know we have a special team here. We right. don't want to do anything to put ourselves in a position where we're not as strong as we can be. And obviously, having Samuel on the field was better than not. And maybe they just said, this can be a really special team, and let's make sure, even though it might be against what we normally do, let's do whatever we can to be as good as we can.
Yeah, I agree with Paul on that, because I know they went to the AFC Championship game a couple years
ago. They weren't anywhere near as good. Yeah.
And I know they would never admit this, but I just don't think Bill thought that team was going to go that far, like, realistically, when he looked at it. I think it was kind of rebuilding on the run a little bit. Not that he didn't think that they could be a good team, but I agree with you, Paul. Last year he saw that team and said, we can do some serious damage with this bunch.
It's interesting, though. I never really thought of that with the scenario that John brought up. And I think there's a possibility that had something to do with the decision-making.
You got him stumped, John.
You did. I was waiting for Andy to say, well, you got the Paul stable approval.
See, I think Andy missed the easy opening. After Paul said, I never really thought about that, and Andy was going to say, but you'll hear it on EEI this week.
No, I don't say anything on EEI.
I was kind of just dozing off over here.
What time do you guys start your draft, the radio coverage on
noon.
Saturday? Right when it starts.
Three.
Okay.
No, the draft starts at 10.
That's Sunday.
Saturday.
Saturday is
Saturday.
3 to 6.
Saturday at 3 we start, Fred.
Saturday 3
Fred
to 6.
Right.
Saturday 3 to 6 Eastern.
What the hell is going on?
Can I just ask
Sunday
him a direct
from noon
question
to 3?
And he gave him
I got to make sure the website's wrong right then.
Well, it's already wrong about the blog.
Make sure the website's wrong.
Chris, make sure it's 3 to 6 on Saturday.
He said noon.
Yeah, noon.
What?
Instead of bucking for Tom's possible job in Vegas, maybe you should apply for the job in New England.
Wow, he didn't find
Three,
that funny.
3, 2, 1.
All right, John.
All right, Ben.
All right, John. John from L.A.
You know what he made me think of, though, when he said, well, if it wasn't for the cheating, the first thing I thought of, I watched South Park again this weekend.
Well, that was
can I reach
the lots?
That's
what
Tom,
I reach these
Tom
keys?
Had the perfect line for that. If it wasn't for the cheating, they weren't the ones.
Well,
who
right. He kind of paused and he didn't really right. know where he was going with it.
All right. Well,
I'm just kidding, Fred. I know they would have won the 3 Super Bowls.
It's a
anyway.
Good theory on the Asante and Harrison.
Because Harrison's thing came on like a Friday night.
It was definitely
Saturday,
a Friday
right?
night.
And Samuel signed. When was
in fact,
it?
If I'm not mistaken,
was it after
the Friday night that Clay Buchholz threw the no-hitter? It was right around that time, I think.
It was like a week before opening day.
Okay, so John's probably right there.
He is right, because I remember we talked about it.
Good Lord, though. Can you imagine if the Patriots still had that other first-round pick? Oh, my God.
They'd be perfect. If they had 7 and whatever it would be, what, 31? 7 and 31.
Yeah.
I mean, now you're in that spot where you can get the guys like Tom talked about, Quentin Groves. You're down at that bottom of the first round. You're going to get a good football player down there. And now you're in a position of strength trying to deal the 7th pick. If you want it, you can move up. If there's one guy you target, you can do whatever you want.
Or you could get Golston and Kaysen, potentially, without having to do anything.
That would be the first-round picks here? No, two.
Oh, just the two.
Two. If you were 7 and 31. If you didn't lose the one for cheating, you'd have 7 and 31. You could have the all-PFW fantasy draft. You could have Golston for you and then Kaysen for Tom.
All stuck. Because of the Jets.
Hey, right. Nothing to do with the fact that we broke a rule.
The
Jets.
Woman I shot jumped in front of the bullet. It's her fault.
All because of the Jets. All because of the Jets. All right, web radio at Patriots.com. It's 12:35. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
4-0 New England. What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack Sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots Broth. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack Sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots Brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Freddie took a trip over to Bass Pro to meet loyal listener Doug from Blackstone. Let's listen in.
Hey, Gary, Fred, you have any idea what Doug looks like?
Bye. That's a trip to Bass Pro with Fred Kirsch.
You know, I love Doug. I mean, Doug's just an awesome guy.
All right.
Well, I love the little bye at the end.
Well, I was told you never, you know, not say bye. You've never noticed in the movies
you've
they
never
hang up,
said
they never
bye.
Say goodbye?
You've never said bye to me.
All right. On the phone?
That's yeah, you're a terrible phone person.
Fred, I don't like the phone.
A couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
Paul and Andy and I went over to Bass Pro to that Bluefin place for lunch.
Yeah.
I know the store itself is enormous, but that place is
tiny.
Yeah, you can look across the room and
well, they're not going to use up all their square footage for a restaurant.
My question
point is it's tiny.
How did you miss the guy? You could have just gone up to the table. We went there at lunchtime.
I sat at the bar. And
we made the determination that if you were in there looking for someone that you didn't know, there's no way you couldn't have possibly gone up to every person in there and said, Doug?
Or just said,
or the guy who's looking around.
Doug. Guy came to me and I asked him, are Doug? And he just kind of
or at least look around as if you're looking for somebody.
I was.
How did you not find him, though?
Now, I don't know.
Now, Eric, they can't use all that square footage for a restaurant because they have to have a whale hanging from the ceiling.
It's in the ceiling. No, it's floor
space. The place is quite impressive, Fred, yeah. I will say. Bass Pro Shops, quite impressive.
It's a great place.
When was the last time you were there, Fred?
It's been a couple weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that the longest you've gone since it's open?
Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
So.
Have they put out an APB yet for you?
Yeah, I might.
You keep that up. The greeters aren't going to call you by name.
Fred. I might get into some surf casting this summer, so I might go get an outfit.
An outfit. You really
I have no idea
I'll
what
be
that
nice.
Means.
Wait a minute. Where are you going to do
Not
that?
Not clothes, you know, gear.
Where are you going to do that?
Down the beaches.
Down the Cape?
Different places.
Why are you being so evasive? Wow.
Here and there.
I have to do some.
Who wants to know? Here and there.
I know where to go on the Cape because I've done it there before, but there might be some closer places.
Is it like surfing where they're territorial? They don't want to give up where the good waves are? Is that the same thing with surf
casting?
Well,
we'll be around.
I don't really understand how surf casting works.
You have to cast a far out long way.
But isn't the wave like pushing your lure and bait or whatever back into the...
Well, what happens
isn't
is
you're going to go limp?
You have to do it at certain times. And,
I can't
tell
if Gary knows the answer or he's just disgusted by
that I'm asking questions about surf casting.
I missed that.
Wait, turn your mic on. You yelled at Fred. Turn your mic
I'm,
on.
I'm mostly...
Both.
I'm mostly a freshwater fisherman, but the little fish, you know, get chased by the big fish closer to the shore, and then that's when you can catch them.
And you got to get a truck, right?
You don't have to.
Don't those guys pull their truck right on the beach and they have those little holders right in the front?
Yep, you can do that or you can walk.
Yeah, trade in the caddy. Get a truck.
Yeah, you can,
oh, no, wait. I rode in a truck with you once. Don't.
You think the fans are saying, damn, a half hour of full draft talk. And we almost made it.
Was it really a half hour? We started with meatballs.
We had it there. What happened? Why do they have to take a break?
Todd from Nova Scotia says, I just listened to the Friday roster report. Please don't use that stupid Tom Petty running down a dream song in another Patriots podcast. I'm like a Vietnam vet with post-traumatic stress disorder. I was finally getting over the Super Bowl, and you brought all the memories rushing back.
Nice job, Gary.
So.
Gary made a hand signal that I can't say over the air.
What did that song have to do with the Super Bowl?
Tom Petty played.
Oh, that's right.
What song did he play?
I don't know. I didn't.
At the Super Bowl?
I didn't watch.
A bunch of songs.
He played three songs.
What were they?
He played Free Falling.
He says even that with arrogance. He played three songs.
Free Falling, Running Down.
Oh,
running down
that was it. Free Falling is what made Patriots fans mad or like they think that was like the end or whatever.
That's one of his biggest hits.
No, I know. Of course. I'm talking about Patriots fans. They're weird.
I was going to say, of course it was a conspiracy against the Patriots.
It was like a premonition.
What did he have to do with their offensive line not being able to block?
I didn't hear any of Tom Petty. Did he sound good? Was it any good?
It was good.
Because you guys were out there. You could
hear it. I don't normally like that kind of stuff, but I thought it was pretty good.
He was good. I liked Alicia Keys better.
I'm a little worried for Alicia Keys. I think you have an infatuation that's bordering on creepy.
I haven't mentioned her since
I wouldn't worry about that, Paul.
I thought we would...
Sorry, Eric.
Curtail that kind of speak.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Let's see.
Not hot. Not hot in any way.
Let's see. Emily.
Oh, come on.
Not hot.
You're out of your mind.
Not even close to hot.
Can we bring this to a forum?
As Mercury Morris would say, has never been in the neighborhood.
Alicia Keys.
Call him out.
She's pretty.
Let's see what the
not hot.
Hot or not.
No offense, but I was looking for the
fans. Hot or not. Alicia Keys.
Hot or not.
Those are your two choices. Not great personality, pretty, great voice.
But I'm not talking hot like.
Hot or not.
But I'm not talking like porn star.
Do you get a little tingle in your ear?
She's an extremely attractive woman.
Oh, don't smirk like that.
Nothing.
We know who Andy likes. So
Lori Baranski,
no taste.
Who do I? Whoa, that's me.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know.
No.
Yeah.
See, there's on the
air. There's off the air when it's about Andy.
I'm not
going to
say
right.
your name, but mm-hmm. that's your taste. So anything you say,
I've admitted, she's not attractive, not hot, not in any way close to
anything
hot.
But yet you get a tingle. Yeah.
You have no.
You get excited
taste.
About that wide load reporter.
Yes,
that's one of those animalistic for some reason.
Animalistic.
You got the animal part right.
I don't. You guys are just being mean now.
Fred,
that confused me. I thought it might be Urban Dictionary.
I did
time.
Too for a second.
That could be our call.
Isn't that
to
the
get
noise?
Off the air. That could be our final.
Yeah.
Anyway, Emily is attending school. In Rochester, New York, but she's from San Jose, California. She says on Friday, NFL.com's Pat Kerwin released a list of drafts top cornerbacks. He had Kaysen listed third ahead of South Florida's Mike Jenkins and Kansas' Aqib Talib. I know you guys love Kaysen, but you got to stop talking him up. With all the hype you all are giving him, he's going to start rising up people's draft boards. I want to think there might be a chance that the Patriots could get him. Now, if he could maybe just fail a few drug tests, maybe that could get him to the bottom of the second round.
Yeah, you're not going to get that. He's one of those stand-up
guys.
I know we
have a lot of influence, but I don't know if we're influencing other teams' draft
We couldn't get Oliver
boards.
Hoyt drafted, so
I don't know how
Plus,
much
there's,
influence
there's
we got.
No chance that he's going to be available at the end of the second round. Luckily, I mean, maybe they could trade up in the second round somehow. I don't know how they go that high, but no, I mean, no way is he available
luckily
at the end
for
of the
Hoyt,
round.
Though. Jerry Jones listens to this show. Said, well, this guy must be good. So maybe the Cowboys will draft Kaysen because Jones took our advice. But
maybe you could get that, and we can do the little. You become one of those draft guys, and was like, Casale got Kaysen moved up 11 spots with his pre-draft hype. That'll be a claim to fame. You can talk guys up.
Emily also says, "What do you guys think about the Dolphins GM Jeff Ireland's Freudian slip in Thursday's press conference when he said, of course I want guys that have great upside. This is going to be the first pick in the draft. This guy is going to be, you know, you hope he's a pillar of your defense for a long time. Aren't they in contract negotiations with Jake Long, an offensive tackle? Do you think this was pre-scripted by Bill Parcells? How much do you read into something like this?"
Not much.
Yeah,
I found it funny.
I think it was funny, and I do think it was a slip because it doesn't matter. I mean, they don't really impact anybody else. They're at one.
Right. They don't need to. I mean, so they don't have Tom to put a smoke screen. Like they were trying to talk it up to trade, but it's kind of become clear they weren't really looking to talk it up and trade. They're making a pick.
They can, you know, they can go and get whoever they want, and then they can call every other team and say, "Hey, look, we're going to pick so and so. Are you interested in trading right. up?" You know, so it doesn't really. Smoke screens don't really make any sense when you're at one, because all you have to do is tell everybody else, "Yeah, we're going to take him."
Let's see.
But it was weird.
Yeah, it was weird, and if he was acting, he pulled it off very well. He made it sound very.
I guess later he was like, he said something else after the fact.
He
or
did
offense,
when they
or...
called him on it. But he's a good actor if he was just throwing it out there to throw it out there. Either that, or he's not. Maybe he's not involved in the meetings. Maybe Parcells is just the guy running the show.
Yeah, I thought it was an odd thing to say, but I think that in terms of smokescreen, all you have to do is go to all the other teams and say, "Hey, look, you're interested in Chris Long. We're going to take Chris Long, or you know, whatever. You know, what
Dan
do you want?
Connor.
What do you got?" Well, in your case, Dan Connor.
Well, I think Parcells has a lot of respect for Ireland, right?
Oh yeah,
he was
certainly
one of
targeted
Dallas,
him.
And I know one of the reasons why he didn't want to stay in Dallas because too much control from other people. So I would think if he's in Miami, he's got a pretty good say. I would think it would be like here in New England where there's like two or three guys who have the say and everyone else is kind of just sitting around listening.
And for all we know, Parcells said, you know what'll get people stirred up, go out there and make a comment like this. And they could be all concocted.
Yeah.
Yes. Because we all know that at this time of year, 85% of what's out there is real, 15%.
Or 90-10.
Or 90-10, somewhere in there.
Joey from Minco, Oklahoma. So that's one for the map.
Gary, do we have a pin in Minco?
Minco, Oklahoma.
Minco.
Here's a
Hello, I am the winner.
Quick question about the draft. If Ellis and Rivers are on the board while the Patriots are up, who do they take?
Gary,
what if the Bengals want to trade for the pick and we get Ocho Cinco in a second-round pick next year?
I'll take any trade that brings Chad Johnson here. How about that?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Do you think that the Bengals are making too much of the fact that under no circumstances will we trade him?
They have to.
What do you mean they have to?
They'll have to trade him eventually.
That's what I mean. But so you
but
don't
they're
believe
doing the right thing now.
They're trying to bargain.
They're trying to make
right.
sure.
We're definitely trading him.
Right.
But, we'll
but
give you
a lot
seven.
Of people say that the reason why they just can't is because of the cap hit. But isn't that kind of...
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah.
That's stupid and short-sighted. First of all, the cap hit isn't that bad.
Right.
It's $8 million, right?
But over two years,
over
four.
Yeah, no, it would accelerate to $8 million this year.
No. All you have to do is wait till June 1st.
And then it would be...
And then you could split it over 2 years.
On a trade that works that way?
Yep.
I believe
okay.
so. And I think you can do it now and deem it a... Don't they have
I don't
that
see,
new
I don't
rule?
Know. I don't know if the new rule applies to trades.
Just for
That's
cuts.
Why I think they might have to wait for June for that. But would you rather have dead cap money or... Waste a lot of cap money on a disgruntled player.
Right, right.
At some point, they're going to have to. If he continues this, they're going to have to trade him.
Yeah.
Now, I agree with Tom. I would take him in a heartbeat. If the Patriots could make a trade for him, I would do it. I don't think they have to do it. And therefore, I think it might be an unnecessary risk and unnecessary money. But you think the Patriots would rather pay Chad Johnson $8 million or whatever, or the number 7 pick of the draft guarantee him $18
million? That's absolutely right.
I also, McShay threw out a good team for him, and is the Eagles.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because they, for years,
Philly
have
makes
lusted
a lot of sense.
After, you know, they went T.O., they went Moss, they've been lusting after a big play receiver. And
they're obviously not scared off by the whole T.O.
Right,
fiasco, because
right.
they went after Moss, and I think they'll be interested in Chad Johnson as well.
My guess is on draft day, Allen, Shepard, and Chad Johnson could all be moved either this week or on draft day.
Hey, a player
Lito,
for player trade.
I was going to say, Lito Shepard for Chad Johnson.
Yeah, never
seen not,
those in the NFL.
It's not out
I'd
of the realm of possibility.
Some activity like that. Nothing
just,
makes draft
if
day
I were,
better.
If I were the
those
Bengals,
kind of things.
If I traded Chad Johnson here, if I was the rest of the AFC, I'd say, first Corey Dillon, now Chad Johnson. What the hell are you guys doing? Right. Because you say you do what's best for your team. You have to go through New England to get to the Super Bowl if you're Cincinnati. And giving them Chad Johnson, in my opinion, is doing nothing to help your
right.
Super Bowl
And let's
chances.
Be honest, it's not Drew Bledsoe where Marvin Lewis is confident that Chad Johnson will never hurt them.
Yeah,
no way.
It's true.
Heck, he's putting Chad Johnson and Tom Brady. No, we know what he's good
even
at.
If you thought,
it away.
Even if you thought the most of Drew Bledsoe, like me, at the stage that they traded him, they knew he wasn't going to come back and haunt them. Chad Johnson, just coming off a 1,500-yard year.
He's the most consistent good receiver in football. He's been good.
And Torrey Holt.
Yeah, I was
Torrey Holt.
Yeah. I would certainly
didn't he have a down. No.
I would certainly call him a top five receiver.
In football, God, yeah,
without
yeah.
question. And you just don't get those guys.
And the thing about him, he's not one of these edges type receiver. He'll go over the middle. He'll give up his body. You know,
I think he's a perfect complement to Moss because of that.
Yeah. It'd be unstoppable.
Yes, but it's not going to happen.
Who's at the door?
This is webmaster Chris Ferrer from Patriots.com. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. You suck, Andy.
Well, as always, Gary comes up with something relevant to the show. No, not the draft, not football. Today's topic was meatballs. So we have the meatball splash. That's the meatball splash.
Ooh. Okay.
I got to read this one here.
It's okay. Not great. Not a Hall of Famer, but it's a good one.
Kevin Garnett, Defensive Player of the Year.
Well,
NBA.
Nice. I think he's looking for the words MV and P.
I don't think that should be hard to get for him, right?
He's probably not the favorite.
Really?
Yeah, Chris Paul or Kobe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny.
Or
he's
LeBron.
He gets downgraded a little because he's got the other stars around him, the big three.
Yeah.
I'll be stunned if Kobe doesn't win that thing this year.
The only thing I don't like about it, if Kobe gets it, I think he's a great player, but I don't like the fact that he hasn't won one yet, so it's his time to win one.
Right.
Who cares? Did he have an MVP year?
Right.
That's all I care
about. Well, here at the Patriots, we always like to support our other pro sports teams around, and we have to give a shout-out to the Bruins for taking – the Canadians to seven games. It was
an entertaining
quite
us.
An effort.
Perfect for you, too, Fred, because they didn't win at all, which I know you really take offense to.
Cut into the merchandise sales.
Right.
But Fred Kirsch,
good effort.
For any of our listeners that are actually interested at all in any of the other sports, I do want to have you know that Fred came in and really, really broke down the series very well today. I thought it was Johnny Pearson coming back.
I'll tell you.
He told me, in no uncertain terms, that the Bruins lost because they just don't have any goal scorers.
They haven't
and
had.
Boy, I'll tell you, I never really thought of that, but he's right.
They haven't had a goal scorer since Cam Neely. That's the problem.
Besides the fact that their best offensive player is out, Patrice Bergeron.
Well, whatever.
That also hurt a little bit.
Done.
Let's see. Frank from Winnipeg.
Done.
He says, Andy's latest performance review. Here is Andy's mock performance review in draft speak. Positives. One, he's a workout warrior, a real beast for pumping up iron and inflatable dolls. Two, doubles up as host when Fred fails to show. Crew loosens up, but sometimes get out of control. Has lots of big playability in video banter. Three, wowed all the scouts at the combine. Mike Mayock was dumbstruck when he saw Andy running barefoot and topless around three cones. Mayock screamed, "What? Are you kidding me? That's the best three-cone romp since Adrian Peterson." Four has
Fred just shakes his head and like his brow gets all.
Four has produced amazing debates, sometimes on the mean and nasty side. Needs to take that mean and nasty attitude to Belichick press conferences to breathe life into them.
Ooh, good luck.
No.
The negatives: has maturity issues, not really a thug or a punk, more of a pumpkinhead. Two, unjustly crucified in the media for failing to maintain possession of a bowel movement while intimate with the missus. Three, has some latent,
there was no intimacy at the time.
Has some latent hostility towards pomposity. And four, recent medical problems may indicate that Belichick has planted a bugging device up his butt.
I'm like Cartman. I got one of those satellites that comes out my ass.
Conclusion, we see Hart as a long-term project with medical concerns. Many are disappointed in his progress to date. Nevertheless, he has great video potential if the tempo is fast-paced, and we look forward to seeing the head on the tube. P.S., please
check
out
a bigger screen.
Please check out the diet suggested for men who have had radiotherapy in the prostate area, which is very close to the rectum. I eat
rectum.
Very bland foods, nothing spicy, plus very low roughage foods. It's easy on the rectum. So there you go.
Low roughage? What is that? So no lettuce?
Yeah, like vegetables make you go to the bathroom.
I don't eat any vegetables except corn. And that's
well, maybe you need to.
Through.
Nah, it doesn't have anything to do with diet with him, I don't think.
Why are you shaking your head in there?
Gary grabs the mic and then he just.
Sorry, right. That was well done. Who is that again?
That's Frank from Winnipeg.
Frank's been doing it for the last month.
I know. I forget
well,
names.
Well, with Tom. He did you, and then he did me.
I'm
so
not great with
all
names.
All of a sudden, now Andy's involved.
I'm
and he's,
not great
oh,
with
hey,
names.
Hey, this guy does a great job.
Now, well, listen.
But I do want to call out our Irish listeners. Are any of those queued up?
I'm sure they'll be there soon.
Because I saw a thing on the news today. In Ireland, they're running low on sperm. So they're holding this large campaign. If you donate sperm, they give you free tickets to, like, shows and concerts of your choice. Can you believe that?
I'm confused.
If they give me a free airline
you
ticket,
just go
I'll do
beat
it.
Off into their little cup, and they'll get...
No, I'm pretty sure he's going to be mad at you for saying that.
All right, who's there?
They're giving away. Like, you can get
but,
things.
No, I understand that they're giving you stuff for sperm. Why are they short on sperm?
I don't know.
Ask Owen.
Because they're all too drunk to beat off. I don't know.
All right, Andy.
Can all we X-day right. on the eat-off say?
I thought I'd so save you some time on that
it,
one.
How does
yeah.
it work here? I can go to a place and give my sperm and they pay me?
Yeah, but you don't get much. The
but
women
you do that
here,
too.
I said.
That's what he just said.
You could do it with blood as well.
You never saw that in your college
I
paper?
I can't get blood.
They used to advertise in our college paper.
No, I've...
In the back. But, like, guys get, like, $20. Women, if you donate an egg, they give you, like, $15,000.
Really?
Yeah, that's where the money... Allison is where the money's at. Pimp her out for her eggs.
We'll how often can you give an
egg? Pimping ain't easy.
I don't know, once a month, can't you? I don't
really
know how the women's system works.
So wait a minute. You could make over $10,000 a year just giving eggs?
$100,000 a year. If you did one every month. And
no, you said 1500.
15 grand.
Oh, 15 grand.
For an egg.
So what do I do? I get her pregnant?
Wait a minute. Why aren't women lining up to do this?
Gary.
That's,
because there's an ethical debate here where
spinning
you don't have
control.
A child elsewhere.
I don't have ethics.
But she might, and they're her eggs.
She'll do what I tell her. Go ahead. If we're talking 15 grand a month.
Now, again, I'm not big on the women's system, but I think once a month, don't they have an egg that's
right.
Isn't that the whole cycle? The women,
so they
the blood,
just go in and
gross?
Take it?
I think so.
Oh, I got to look into this.
I think Allison might have a different view of this.
$150,000 a year? Are you kidding
just
me?
Giving eggs?
Let me tell you this. I'll show her the couch she's sitting on, and I'll say, if you let me take your egg once a month, then we can get a new couch, we can do this, we can do that. I'll talk her into it.
I'm starting to think we should start hen houses. You know, get a whole bunch of women.
Just sit them on a nest?
Yeah. All right.
I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued.
That was one of our best tangents ever.
Am I supposed to be reading this?
Oh, someone's at the door.
Hi, this is Christina Acker from Patriots Today.
Jackpot.
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I can't believe you're actually playing this music.
So, for some reason, we have a second Urban Dictionary Word of the Day.
This is my attempt to change the topic.
Oh, this is the Irish Blumpkin. And it's obviously a reference to what we've been talking about, donating sperm in Ireland.
I didn't think that topic was that bad.
The Irish Blumpkin. I just didn't know we couldn't say
but people,
the
I
words
mean, it's,
beat and off close together.
It's
well,
an action.
I'm stunned with a 15 grand a month. I mean, you know me.
I think Andy
you.
Might be a little bit.
It said.
There has to be conditions.
Well, I'm sure they, yeah. It's like when you give sperm, don't they ask you like
I'll
your height, your weight,
one time.
Your
well,
yeah, but one beyond
what,
that,
what did they ask you when you did
I've
it? I've
never
don't know.
Donated it to anything other than the garbage.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
he's
by the way, did you see South
out of
Park
control.
This week?
No.
Ferreira was right. The end is
is coming.
Is something, yes.
All right, but I,
Fred, read an email. Let's get
if
us back
if somebody
on track.
Knows any details about this, please email, and I'm sure there's one of our listeners
strippers
out there.
Has.
I'd also like to know about the program in Ireland from some of our Irish listeners.
Read what strippers wrote.
Although they didn't know there were houseboats going down canals, so what the hell are they good for?
Colin writes in, how's it going? He's
Ireland?
From Bristol, Connecticut. Will this draft fire scenario happen?
Strippers wrote in about it.
About
Fred
what?
Reads in order no matter what.
About the whole $15,000 a month. He said strippers wrote in. He
listen,
I don't have
listen at about 1:10 on Thursday, we'll get that answer from strippers.
Oh, here we go.
Got to go in order. That's not the one that's in order.
Due to the latency
well,
of the internet.
He sends us an email, a website link, spermfortickets.com.
Oh, that's the Irish thing.
Right.
Click on that.
No.
Gary, can you click on that and print it or tell me the information?
Nothing came up.
No.
What? What do you mean
so
nothing
speak.
Came up?
See what he did there?
No.
We've page confused Fred because now we can't remember
nah,
what it was.
See, now I have too many to emails. To what happens is I get more emails than I can handle on one page. And
well,
so I lose my place. Host. Anyway, Colin.
You know what you should do? Print them and highlight them.
I hate
and
you.
Stand up while I do the show.
Yeah, it'd be really pompous.
Why does that upset? Why does that matter?
It doesn't matter. It's just what you do.
But it clearly bothers you.
Then the chair is blocking the door, so you can't get
it. We remedied that.
Yeah, you don't host anymore. Fred's
been here ever since.
Let's see. Well, this draft scenario happened. New Orleans trades New England a first and second or third to move ahead of Cincy to get Cedric Ellis, and the Pats would take linebacker Keith Rivers at the new spot. They will then trade their second rounder and another pick to the Eagles for Lito Shepard. This is probably one of the better scenarios I want to see happen in the draft. I think that the Jets will pick McFadden, and Miami will select Golston first, and that's probably the best move for Parcells. What do you guys see happen?
I think everything you said will happen. Exactly the way that you put it.
Except for the part that Jake Long has already written Jake on the contract.
My own personal opinion, I think that the Raiders are going to take one of those big guys in
they
the
could.
Middle. And if the Rams or the Saints take the other, to me, those guys are so hard to get. And the teams that are picking up there need those big bodies in the middle.
And plus Warren Sapp retired, right?
Yeah.
Everybody says Dorsey is the next
Warren
Sapp.
That would be the logical pick, but once, as we were saying upstairs, the only team harder to predict than the Patriots is the Raiders, not because they don't give out information. You just don't know who's in for it. It could be the coach. It could be Al Davis. You don't know. As you
said,
Andy,
on the same page.
They could have two cards going up to the podium at once, and whoever gets there first gets their pick.
It sounds absolutely ridiculous, but that's sort of how bad it is out there.
And with the whole 10-minute thing this year, when it's quicker,
right.
And they have
One quick aside.
They're on the clock.
Just said Sapp. I don't know if anybody read the Michael Lombardi story on CNNSI.com, whatever it is now. He worked with Bill a little bit in Cleveland. Now, Tom, you've probably seen him do some NFL Network stuff. Used to be with the Raiders. I think he's pretty good on the NFL Network. He makes some mistakes, kind of like Fred and I do with names and things. But his theories are good. But he was telling a story about Sapp was when Bill was in Cleveland. Sapp was being drafted, and Bill loved him. But apparently they got some outside advice, so I'm wondering if he still subscribed to that national scouting type thing when they were with the Browns, and that made them remove Sapp from their board. And
is that
obviously
because of the drugs?
Drugs, and it also said misinformation about his character. So maybe he said something in an interview that didn't coincide with some research, but it said that was when Bill learned his lesson to not take outside information, to do whatever research he needed to do, and come up with his own decisions because he regretted not drafting Sapp.
Let me ask you guys
very
a question. Why, for any reason, would a team take outside information when it comes to scouting players?
Well,
all have scouts that they pay good money to. They have these
personal. Except for Cincinnati.
Yeah, they have. And
Dallas. Maybe at the time the Browns. You never know.
But I'm just saying, right now, a lot of teams still do it. Wouldn't you have your scout players specifically for your team,
right,
like the Patriots and the
sure.
Colts?
I agree with Tom.
But see, the
sure.
only thing I would say is, I would subscribe to it because I'd want the absolute endless amount of information I can get. And then if there is something that in some way differs with what your guys have done, it says, okay, let's dig a little deeper.
Right, let's
guys,
see why
back
they're saying
I just think that affects your thinking. And I'll give you an example.
See, I don't.
During the draft process, I started to not like Dorsey as much. And then once I watched the tape, I thought to myself, you know, I saw this guy play for 2-3 years. He's unstoppable. I'm not going to listen to this other stuff.
Right,
I think just subconsciously, when you start getting all this information, it starts to screw around with the way you think.
See, I'm a person who likes more information. And I would like to think that I could sift through it.
I was going to say, so in other words,
sometimes you like to give out too much
information. Take the stuff from Blesto or whatever, the National Services, and just take it as additional opinions.
Right.
But, you know, when push comes to shove, if we're on opposite sides, we're going with us.
With us. Oh, yeah, no question. My vote outranks theirs.
I don't see the harm in that.
But I just like.
But I like Tom's theory in general. I was like, you know what you know. And you're watching, you see what your eyes tell you, and you are paying ostensibly a lot of money to have these guys know these off-field things as much as anybody else. It's surprising to me as many teams still use those services. Now, back in the early 90s, maybe it was different.
Right.
Maybe the scouting wasn't as diverse as it is now, league-wide. That was, that was almost 20 years ago.
But let me give you an example. I told you guys, last year when I was in PR, I did that. It was like a Google research project where I was searching all the prospects and for their backgrounds and just seeing what was out there on the internet about them. And, you find local paper stories about a guy who got a DUI or whatever. If you're doing that,
Wouldn't you want to do the other service to, just to get everything? I mean, you're using essentially using Google as a source. Wouldn't you want to have this Blesto and just to have everything
in front
saying,
of you? No, I'm saying, yeah. No, if you're going to use it just to have an additional voice, but like I said, when push comes to shove, you're going with your evaluations and your services.
Right.
There's
no question. The bottom line is if Bill Belichick sees a guy and says, I like how he plays, and his scouts agree, and then there's this one line in like a Blesto report that says, took one play off. I mean,
yeah, but I'm not talking about the Patriots. I'm talking about some of the other teams that probably use those more extensively.
Well, I think there's teams that do rely on those way too much.
The
problem.
I wonder what the breakdown is nowadays on those kinds of
There's still
services.
A lot of teams that.
Oh, 85-15.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I mean, well done.
Where did I see it at the combine? I think he listed the teams that subscribe.
But there might be teams like you. But if they're doing what you say, they're not really using them.
Right.
They're just having additional information. I
when
wonder,
Cincinnati subscribes. It's,
right.
Well, who drafts it?
I subscribe to our lads, but yes. I rely on my
and
own.
Yeah, but the problem, Fred, is Jerry Jones drafts the same way you do your draft research.
The 22nd pick, Dan Connor.
From the toilet? I'm wondering.
Toilet's nicer, though.
I'm just wondering how many teams actually use the stuff. You know, as like I think Cincinnati, there's a chance they have to. They only have like two scouts.
Right, Buffalo. And I would be interested because if I was getting paid and say I loved Kaysen, everything I did, I loved them, and they were taking information from Blesto, which I strongly disagree with.
Right.
Like, how far does that go? Are they trusting their own people? Or are they saying it'd just be interesting to know if we could ever find that
and
out?
And I'm sure there's examples. Across the whole spectrum. I mean, obviously, we know the Patriots don't even subscribe. And
but
there's probably some teams that use it.
Which probably stems right from that incident. He probably wrote him, and you know how Bill is.
Right.
You're dead to me. You screwed me once. That's it. I'm not going to give you a chance to screw me twice.
Fred, I'm intrigued with something. Would you happen to have the R Lads from the year that Quincy Carter came out?
What year was that?
2002?
Oh, yeah. It's up in my bookshelf.
I'd like to see it because if they have him rated higher than everybody else, I think we've hit a nail on the head here with the Cowboys.
I really think that with all these things, someone, it would take a long time to do, but a really detailed analysis of how accurate these books are, percentages. And you'd have to come up with some type of formula of what, working out means,
It's impossible. Paul couldn't do it for the top 10 picks in the draft.
What'd
you have? Pro bowler, pretty good player, bust or something?
Yeah, I was basically great, average, or bust was the three categories. But it's very
But even
subjective.
You were on it, right?
I know.
Very Fred wants to be able to do it for every pick of every draft
and not only
for the last
that,
10 years.
You have to also
maybe the first two rounds of each year.
It's even hard, but it's not about volume. It's not about the amount of players. It's to put a category on each guy.
Right.
And it's way harder for those because you're dealing with paragraphs of a summary of strengths, weaknesses. Now you have to extrapolate from those words.
Did they like
what the
him?
Guy translated to? Well,
right.
You might say, they had Warren Sapp, incredibly athletic interior defensive lineman, moves well for his, all things that he actually turned out to be. And then in the negatives, it could say
talks too much.
Yeah, could say could be disruptive.
Oh, that's true.
Could
that's
be
true
disruptive
too.
In a team.
That's Paul's point.
That's my point. Could be disruptive in a team setting. They basically nailed it all, but where do you come out with? Did they hit it? Did they put too much? Was it more on the negative than the positive?
And the other
issue
is
it's very subjective.
What
it's
about
hard.
Mike Vrabel,
who goes
to the Steelers, and you might give him one grade, and then he comes to the Patriots. Well, which grade is right? The one with the Steelers or the one with the Patriots? And you compare that to the draft guides.
I suppose you could only do it with guys who have finished their careers.
Sounds damn near impossible to me.
Well, I think it should be attempted. I'd like to know which is the most accurate guy.
Well, I can tell you what Bill thinks was the most accurate, and that
Bushbaum.
Was Joel Bushbaum.
But he's not around anymore.
But it's Pro Football Weekly is basically still in that style.
You know what? Bill is a normal person, so he liked Joel Bushbaum because of the way he approached his job.
Probably,
He's biased, too. You know what I mean? He's biased because that's his guy. Doesn't mean it's the best or it's right. It's his guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're all biased. Doesn't mean it's the right one. That's the one he liked.
Let's see. Anthony is in Naples on the phone. Anthony, how are you?
Good. How are you doing there, Fred?
I'm doing great.
The gray goose has landed.
The gray goose. but Fred, did I hold on long enough to please you?
I don't like that idea of pleasing you.
Well, I remember you you really laid it into me last time because I couldn't hang on. I actually had to answer another call.
Pleasing me and laying it into me. What's going on here?
Do you and Fred have a relationship you'd like to discuss on the air?
What's happening down in Naples?
Well, here's the reason why I called. I don't know if you guys discussed it already. As you know, I don't listen live. Should I be worried about the Kansas City Chiefs dealing Jared Allen? Because do you think they will end up taking Golston if he's there at that spot?
It's an interesting dynamic that comes in. When Jared Allen was originally on the trading block, I read some things about that could be a trickle-down effect. Now, that's putting a lot of things in place. That's not only saying that the trade's going to happen, but it's saying that they're going to deem that position the one that they're targeting to replace right away, to which I would say, then why are we so hot to deal the guy? Why are we so intent on getting rid of Jared Allen? I think he's a pretty good player. So, I don't know. I got to think that they have some more depth there that maybe we don't know about rather than
I don't like that idea.
I don't like the idea of trading Jared Allen to draft Vernon Golston.
Right, it's kind of like letting Asante Samuel go to draft a corner at 7 to pay him $18 million.
Who may or may not be
good.
Better, yeah.
But on the Golston thing, I've put it in my mind that he's not going to be there.
I think he's going to be.
You really do? And you think the Patriots will pick him?
I think there's a very good chance that he's there.
I don't think it's a smokescreen. I think the Jets really do like Darren McFadden. I know a lot of people think they're just trying to screw with the Patriots. But I think it makes a lot of sense for him because Thomas Jones, he had injuries last year, kind of got a little old quicker than we thought. You know what I mean? Like, I know he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear. But McFadden on that team, I think then you can maybe get away with having those quarterbacks and push for the playoffs. So I wouldn't be surprised if they took him.
Yeah, and Rich Cimini, who is one of the more insider Jets guys, I think he's Daily News in New York, talked a lot about McFadden and just the idea of having the contrasting styles, a good kind of, plotting, experienced guy in Thomas Jones who's, who can get you can pile up the carries and get you some tough yards, but doesn't have the big play dynamic ability that McFadden might, and, kind of having that power-speed combo to further illustrate Tom's point, maybe rely more on that in the offensive line that you invested some money in and not worry about whether it's Chad Pennington or Kellen Clemens at quarterback.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, I think they want to go with Pennington and run the ball about 60 times a game.
And let him throw those 5-yard outs the
rest
of the
time. That's what
I
think, and they think we can compete this way. But if we have to throw the ball 30, 40 times a game, we just don't have the tools to do that.
And as far as Golston, I think he's sort of settled in now. As we've talked about all along, he was not even really a top 10 pick. Then he goes to the combine. Then he's all of a sudden on the radar in the top 10. Then all of a sudden, the Dolphins are going to negotiate with number. Well, I think now he's settled back into where he is. He's an elite prospect, but not a top 2 or 3 pick.
So do you think that with this, they've agreed in principle, I guess, to the contract with Jake Long. I just heard it on the radio.
Yep.
I guess it's going to be a 5-year deal. So if that happens, I think that just, I think increases the odds. Am I not correct?
I got a feeling that's not going to happen.
I get it. Fred, you're being negative. So, it'll be a good thing if it comes out.
I got a feeling that somehow that in principle is going to break down and it's not going to happen.
You're saying they're not going to sign Jake Long.
They're not going to sign Jake Long.
She comes straight here from the party.
Even at the press conference when they're announcing him.
I got a feeling.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, we're all in agreement. We don't think Jake Long is a great player.
Just help Fred out.
Why? I mean, they're obviously negotiating with him, Fred. Why do you think it's not
because
really going
to
happen?
To me, the only way that you would agree to draft Jake Long as the number one is if he gave some major concession in the money. And I don't see his agent doing that.
Wait, Fred, don't like him, but a lot of people, he's been a consensus top 5 player in this draft.
Pretty sure he's going to give a concession with the money because that's why they're negotiating with all of those guys that are available, and they're going to take the one who does make the concession.
Well, you want to make sure that if you're going to take a guy first round, that he's going to agree to your terms. And if you're, like you said, if you're number one, there's no reason to not do it early. Last thing you want is
number one. It's better than number six, or number four.
Hey,
he's going to get more money than the next guy.
Money on the number one tackle.
The number one pick.
It doesn't matter if it's tackle
it's not by position. It's slot.
It's slot. Teams sometimes try to argue.
It would be cheaper being a tackle.
Well, that's what teams try to pull off sometimes, but
that's what Matt Ryan will be arguing.
And it didn't work for Joe Thomas last year.
You are what you are.
It didn't work for Cleveland. We tried to pay him less. I might put that backwards.
But that's the thing. It works the other way, too. If you're, whether you're a tackle or not, if you're the number one overall pick, you're going to get that kind of money.
Right.
And
right.
I just don't see the Miami Dolphins.
Matter of fact, I believe it's on ESPN right now because I'm looking in the window. Yeah, Gary, up above it. There. Is that Jake Long?
Oh, they've been wrong before.
He's going down with this ship.
At what point do you think Parcells doesn't like offensive linemen?
Oh, I think he does, but he likes drafting defense.
Peter King keeps writing about Jumbo Elliott. Keep saying how it's the Jumbo Elliott pick for Parcells and the guy that he can kind of build his offensive line around for 10 years.
And as Paul and I said, at some point, right. Jumbo Elliott became the greatest football player of all time.
To which I say, Jumbo Elliott, big deal. If he was available now, I wouldn't take him in the top five.
Yeah, have you noticed Peter King? Everything he writes is like, I'm hearing or whatever. It's obvious that the person, like
the Dolphins reach agreement. I'm not buying it.
Didn't I just watch some guy from Michigan State leave him in the dust?
Well, yeah. What do they mean, reach agreement?
What do they mean by principle?
All right.
Hey, I don't really like the guy all that much. I don't think he's that great a player. I agree with Tom, and I agree with Andy, who already talked about him.
They've agreed to terms.
I don't think it's a dumb move by Miami because of I think there's an argument to be made of saving a couple of bucks.
Look at Miami.
Having
they had to spell first, fist pick set.
Oh, geez.
Oh, man.
TheDirty.com will be checking in.
So they're probably wrong on the agreed to terms, too. They can't even spell the word first.
And Anthony just said they're saying a five-year deal, which would even be a concession on Long's part for the term.
Yeah.
Because it's usually six for the first half of the first round is 6 years, right? And the last half is five?
Well, I don't know if it's a concession on Long's part. It could be Condon fighting for a shorter deal so he gets to free agency.
Well, maybe that was the concession they
made.
That's the concession they made on the money. I'll take less, but give me one less.
That's my guess. Is Condon came back and said, "Let us hit free agency sooner, so now you'll have to pay us like an elite all-pro tackle." Because the way the NFL works now, in the fourth year they're looking to redo it.
Right.
So in 4 years he might be getting elite franchise tackle money.
Exactly. Yeah. So
he could have two great deals in the first 4 to 5 years.
That would make sense if he rather than money, he conceded to term.
Or the Dolphins could be laughing and say, good luck elsewhere.
I know one thing. If someone in the AFC East drafts Dan Connor, that Long can block him pretty well.
I was going to say, what number was Dan Connor? Was that 45?
Driving him
back. He was 45,
driving
right?
him back about 15 yards.
Pancaked.
All right. Well,
they're still fist pick.
So now if the Pats do get Golston at 7, isn't this kind of good news? In a way that someone in the AFC East has Jake Long, the guy who Golston sort of manhandled throughout his college career.
Good thinking.
Yeah.
I know.
And it's all come full circle. Fred was trying to argue that Golston could replace Jason Taylor, and Jake Long thinks he's Matt Light. So Golston, Light,
yep.
Turnstile, sacks, and John Beck is still a
Redskins offer for Chad Johnson rejected by Bengals.
So the Redskins made an offer for Johnson. Do we know what that offer was?
Why you believe in that?
I'm just saying. I don't know.
Because they spelled it right. They spelled it right.
Yeah, they spelled rejected. Good point, Tom.
Let's see. Glenn is from Newburyport, Mass. He says he's coming to the draft party at Gillette on Saturday with his wife. Just realized you guys are doing the show from 3 to 6. Any chance you'll make an appearance at the party?
No chance.
My draft day would be complete if I could get a photo with the PFW team. I'm sure there will be many PFW listeners at the party that day. Have you guys considered doing the show from the party?
There will be a couple of PFW in Progress personalities there, as I believe Kyle and Lori.
Gary will probably be around, too.
We actually have to work.
You're at the party a little bit, aren't you, Gary?
I don't know what Gary does ever.
Yeah, that day is pretty hectic for us. We're pounding on the blog all day.
But we will, Gary. What's the email saying?
His name is Glenn.
Glenn. We will be available at the beginning of May, May 9th, right? What's the panel discussion?
Oh, that's right.
Might not be available to everyone.
I think you have to be
right?
a club member.
So buy club seats and then come.
So as usual, if you're rich, you get the benefits. If you're just a poor PFW listener,
well, that's how life works.
I got no problem with that.
Well, Susan, in life.
In life. Anyway,
we should be doing one of these for our real listeners,
yeah.
too, Fred.
At Hooters.
Anyway, says Lynn, this is my first time writing in, so thanks for doing what you do. Eric, I
was in Newburyport last week, by the way.
Oh, well, yeah.
I was, yeah. Nice little town.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it rich? Isn't that a ritzy place?
It can be, yeah. It's part of it, yep.
Why, there's a bad part of Newburyport? Across the tracks?
Eric, I wanted to tell you to stay
tough.
That
would be a negative.
I like this one. Dallas still interested in Jones, despite news that he was extorted.
They're going to be interested no matter what. Let's be honest.
Sure. Sure. Come on in.
Bring your unwashed mess.
Peppers. Oh, Rucker. Retired?
Yeah, that was rumored the last couple of weeks that he was going to retire.
So he injured or just done?
He's a good player.
He was. Why Mike is he Rucker, retiring after 9 years?
Injured.
Yeah.
Let's see. Eric, I wanted to tell you to stay tough. As an artist myself, I'm a photographer. I know how hard it is to stay pompous when surrounded by lesser individuals who just don't understand on a daily basis.
Yeah, he's from Newburyport.
We just know we are better than everyone else and must live with it. It's your cross to bear, dude. Don't let him get to you.
I'm doing my best, Glenn. Thanks.
Fighting the good fight.
Yep.
As soon as he makes a dime, I'll admit that he's better than me.
And Eric continues to be a lightning rod of either praise or criticism.
Which one is this, Fred?
Mike says, and he's from Westford, Mass. He says, Eric, I can't believe the pompous Eric didn't know or correct Fred that Captain Queeg, Humphrey Bogart, was from the Caine Mutiny by Herman Wouk. Fred McMurray was, no. The Caine Mutiny is.
He goes, no.
Herman Wouk wrote the Caine Mutiny? I don't think so. Anyway.
Is he confusing Herman Melville?
Well, Herman Melville wrote Moby Dick.
Right. Is that what he's.
I was the one that was wrong about Captain Queeg, by the way.
All right. Anyway, I think Eric was still sulking over his beatdown from his last hosting attempt.
He still is.
Speaking of Eric, he should take the advice of Paul Perillo and do not pre-screen the email. That is what makes the show fun. And put away the highlighter. As an example, Eric read an email about Patriots Football Weekly beer mugs, except that Eric's would be a fluted champagne glass that says, "What makes you think I'm pompous?"
It was very funny,
except that Eric was laughing before he read it, thus taking away the spontaneity of the moment.
Anyone?
And he goes on to say, "This is the South Park episode was a scream, and I'm a season ticket holder.
Of course,
they wouldn't have lost had Josh McDaniels not been so stubborn for so long. Now that I've said it, it's time to move on." And he says, "What do you think of McFadden as a consolation prize in this draft? If Golston, Dorsey, Ellis, and the two longs are off the board and you can't trade down, why not have
things scrolling at 100 miles an hour?
Holy Christ, you know, every darn scroll in the world
is slow
goes
as can
slow,
be.
And then you're trying to read something.
Chris Mortensen had the details of the trade, and it went by at 90.
It was this year's first-round draft pick and another pick, I think, next year that could have been a first-rounder if Johnson had reached clauses.
The Bengals are drunk.
So the Bengals wouldn't take that, and you think that the Patriots are going to get them somehow?
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
that's crazy.
Potential to have two first-round picks.
I've been reading in the SPFWs. I think we could trade one of the third-rounders for Chad Johnson.
Fred,
that won't get it done?
Gary just handed me a printout from the Internet. Herman Wouk, W-O-U-K,
yeah.
Best-selling American author with a number of notable novels to his credit, including
K-Mutiny?
First one listed there.
Okay, all right. Must have been one of his first.
Winds of War and War and Remembrance of the
others. Yeah, Winds and War.
But
I was robbed by Tufts University.
I've
never heard of any of this.
I'm proud of you.
I never read Moby Dick.
I'm an English major, though. I've never heard of these books.
You never heard of the Caine Mutiny?
No.
Or the Winds of War? It was a huge miniseries that
he
published 20 years ago.
He majored in English. He just didn't read anything.
You went to a good school, too. It's not like you went to my school where I just cheated.
I got hosed. I want my $120,000 back.
I'm proud of Eric because he read that gentleman's name. Now, I'm an idiot, and I never read any books since The Cat in the Hat. So I don't know who it's Wouk?
Wouk.
Herman Wouk. I've never heard that name because, as I said, I'm an idiot. But never I'm sure it. That you, you know, being as worldly as you are, knew exactly how to pronounce that name, yet you played it off and pretended that you didn't know quite how to pronounce it, and I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Was well done.
Thanks, Paul.
Because normally you would come in and say, actually, Fred.
Well, you know how back in the day in school, girls would actually act dumb because they didn't think that guys wanted
that's what
to go
Eric's
out
gotta
with,
do now.
With right. girls that were smart, so they would act
and
dumb.
We don't.
So
I have to start acting
he's
dumb.
He's trying to dumb it down a little bit.
Right.
Smart yeah. I don't girls care if they're dumb or smart.
Smart girls don't put out.
Well done.
Cali girl's on the line
she
right now.
She puts out.
Cali, how you doing?
And I don't think she's playing.
Hey, guys.
Wow. Speechless,
sorry,
huh?
That was funny.
True, up? But funny.
Oh, well, you're talking about girls act dumb?
Yeah.
Yeah, that part, too.
What do you got for us today, Cali?
Well, nothing. My mom is on.
All right. That's it.
That was mean.
She said she had nothing.
Yeah.
And then she said, "My mom."
All right. Maybe this will go a little slower. Nope. They just say they direct.
I hope it's not like my mom's in a hospice.
Right.
Or
nice
something,
job, guys.
Know? Anyway.
You guys are terrible.
Just to finish up Mike's
email. You couldn't did you call her? Because you couldn't have queued that up any better, right? Talk about a segue.
Oh, by the way, where's Craig and Lucky? Our two regular callers who never call anymore.
I hope this isn't true, but I think Lucky was perished in the line of duty because we heard
Wait
from
a minute.
Him.
He worked in Chicopee.
Maybe
That's
they
a tough area.
Over.
As Paul would say, are the Russians in Saugus or whatever?
Maybe they sent him over. You never know. We haven't heard from
Lucky.
Well,
I felt like we were tight. I thought he would have called and said, you know, guys, I've been deployed. I'm going to Iraq. Lucky, if you're out there, call.
The mean streets of Chicopee.
And Craig, I don't think he took the Super Bowl loss too well.
He's cleaning planes in Chicopee.
You gotta walk around the hood with one finger on the trigger in Chicopee.
Craig's gone too. We haven't heard from Craig.
Yeah, Craig, I don't think he had a job.
Yeah,
but
something's
I don't
not right.
Think he
but he should still email.
You guys are right. He used to email and stuff. Something isn't right
still
with Craig.
Email.
Or Craig's brother.
I think he
took
came
the
in
Super
here.
Bowl loss too well.
I think he came in here and realized it wasn't, you know, this big special thing. He realized what a bunch of idiots we are, and he just said, "That's it."
Boy, that went both ways.
Speaking
of both ways.
All right.
You just can't. You can't do it. You can't,
I can't
do it.
No, you can't.
Andy, you're full of crap.
That's right. He is.
Kieran from Ireland. I know you guys think that there isn't a corner worthy of taking in the top 10, but if you thought Bill was going to take one at 7, assuming there are no trades available, who would you want him to take? And P.S. Tom, man crush on Case and Casale, doesn't have to answer this question.
All right, what are we looking
I'll
to
go
take someone?
If they took a corner
DRC.
At 7, who would it be?
I'll go DRC.
Mike Jenkins.
Yeah, I like that's
a, that know. Tells you there's not a corner worth taking in the top 10.
I'll,
we just
I'll
gave
you
four different
you.
Guys.
I don't feel all that strongly about it. I
don't either. I liked.
I just went with him because they showed a little interest in him and he can return.
Right. I just didn't like him because
I liked Mike Jenkins, but not enough to pick at number 7.
Right. And what are his character issues?
Oh, I don't know.
Mike
I'm
Jenkins.
I'm just going off the.
I'm
going
to say, and I don't know anything about him personally. South Florida is starting to run one of those renegade programs, so
Virginia Tech,
and
West
might,
Virginia,
yeah, and he might be a stand-up guy. I want to make that. I don't know anything about him, but the program in general is starting to get those guys who can't get into the other school type thing.
We just talked about Pro Football Weekly and how people used to, you know, Bill used to think it was the best, and with Buschbaum, and now it's Naraki.
Nolan
I believe.
Naraki. Yeah.
They need to be a little more responsible because I'm reading guys' bios, and either in negatives or summary, it just says, like, character issues. Well, I think that's irresponsible. Give me, I mean, use 10 more
cite,
words,
cite
another half
specific.
Line, and
I,
say,
I agree with
after
you.
Bar fight yeah. in 06.
Yeah. I agree with
I
you.
Mean, I think it's unfair to just throw out character
I'm
issues.
Assuming, I mean, I'm
Plus,
assuming.
Plus, there's a difference between takes a playoff in practice or raped some woman or was accused
well,
of rape.
Well, I'll even go a step further.
That's that ain't
I agree with you. You should say it. And I'm assuming they're not putting character issues for guys that don't have any kind of legal trouble
right.
in the background. But there's a difference to me between a guy who was involved in some on-campus fight maybe one night at a party. That's a character issue.
Everything.
And being involved in a rape
right.
Accusation.
Or, you know, once
to me, those are two big different.
With one, like Kevin Falk, went to a
right.
concert and had two, you know, cigarettes in his pocket.
Right. So that's why I want you to tell me what the character issue is so
right.
I can make the determination if I think that's
it.
You know, we were just talking about Warren Sapp, and you made the
we're about responsible journalism.
You made
here
the talk. But you made the talk about Lombardi from the Cleveland days with Warren Sapp. He dropped for marijuana
right.
possession.
Right.
Now, to me, that's nothing. I thought that was stupid then. And over the next 15 years when Warren Sapp was an all-pro, it looked pretty stupid in retrospect.
They stole my pot.
If it just said character issues there, now obviously the teams involved know. But as the fans who were trying to read up on these guys, give us a sentence and
right.
say what the character issue is. It's
Questions
not that hard.
About marijuana possession.
Because I can dismiss that one in my mind, whereas if it says, you know, was involved in a domestic battery suit a case with his girlfriend, that's serious to me.
Or even
Christian
just
Peter in the same
arrested
same
17 time.
I'll bet
times.
You there's a lot of legal stuff involved in that because if you
not
say.
Not if it's of record, though.
But if it's something that he was accused of and it was never found guilty, now you're screwing with a kid's.
That's why you.
But I think
but that's
you're screwing
you
with
that.
It by saying.
Exactly.
Character
if it didn't
that's
say it at all.
Broad,
right,
general,
if it didn't say it at all. I would take your side of it.
Yeah.
But if it says character issues,
why
you're opening
bring it
the
up
can.
At all?
Right. Yeah. If you don't have, if you're not strong enough,
I guess
a
they feel that's as
it.
Far as we can go without
I think
the threat of being sued.
Hey Gary, can you go on ESPN and see if they have what the Redskins offered for Chad Johnson? You know, because we're just watching ESPN news. You won't see that kind of stuff here.
Well, we did for 1 second, but it flew by at 100.
But then there was another thing that it said. Mort said that he wouldn't be traded. Something about
you could,
Dallas.
Yeah, you couldn't read it all.
Yeah,
it was all. Well, they had the instead of just the one on the bottom, they had a second scroll that was going up and down, and it was going way too fast. They're having problems. Let's be honest. They can't spell first. It's going at 100 miles an hour.
But we can't even blame Frank the Tank right. anymore because he doesn't
There's
do it anymore.
Getting killed.
You know who?
15 yards.
Is that, are you sure that's him?
Yeah.
I thought he was 40.
Wasn't that 40?
He's 40. I think that was 45.
I think that was 45.
Oh, that was 45. It looked like 40 with his shirt pulled up like that.
But the guy that we're watching
whoever that
is
guy
getting
is.
Killed.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like him as a prospect.
Hey, on the
first pick set.
Now it's actually the first pick, not the fifth pick.
Bengals would have received 2008 first round.
And a third round. That could escalate to a first round pick if Johnson also reports Bengals inform Cowboys and Eagles that Johnson will not be traded.
Oh, there it is, Tom.
All right, let's get to the bottom of this here.
So sounds like it could have been two first round picks.
Now, why are the Bengals just informing two teams that he won't be traded?
You know how I'm hurt
word
by
gets
that
around.
Latest news. T.O. and Chad Johnson.
Word,
that's
word
better
gets
than
around,
T.O. and Moss. The Redskins offered its first-round pick, number 21 overall, and a conditional third-rounder in 2009 that could escalate to a first-rounder if Johnson and the Redskins hit certain performance levels, the sources said. The Bengals have not only rejected the Redskins, but two other NFC East suitors, the Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles, have been informed that there has been no change in the team's position, that Johnson will not be traded.
Now they're turning down potentially two first-round picks.
See,
that's
got to
mean that he's not going to be traded then.
I would
they're
tell
calling
you this,
his bluff.
Look for, in the next 3 days, another round of talk shows for Chad Johnson.
Well, they're saying no to all the first-round of offers. Now they're going to see, okay, who wants to up it?
But I think they run the risk of...
Yeah, they do.
That was our best. We're out.
Yeah, but you don't contact teams and say, we're not interested.
Right.
You just decline
no.
the... This says that they...
They informed.
That no change in the team's position.
Yep.
So they're saying we're not trading him. Good luck with
obviously,
that.
Obviously, they're just telling those teams don't bother wasting your time
right.
because we're not looking into offers.
Right.
So they're trying to call
at
his
some
bluff,
point,
but
at some point, I think they're going to have to trade him. And
I don't think
this
he's
weekend,
bluffing. I think he's nuts, and he's sulking, and he's a baby, and
definitely
he wants out.
Nuts.
He's kicking and screaming.
And Cincinnati's going to look at it. I think they run the risk of... Maybe a month from now or 2 months from now, teams are going to say, hey, look, you have to trade them.
Right.
Do you think you know that first and third I was going to give you? No.
Well, like,
do you think there's any chance that the league office might get involved and say, hey, look, to all the teams, that, you know, this whole whining your way out of town's got to stop. You guys need to hold.
No?
No. That's as
I
old
think
as.
That's, yeah, that's part of,
that's,
part of football
that,
forever.
You know, that goes back sports. To Curt Flood. I mean, that's as old as sports now. I
Curt
mean,
Flood? You remember Curt Flood?
Yeah. Free agency baseball.
Yep.
Okay.
But they also have a quote from what you guys were talking about.
I'm a little surprised he knew, too.
Yeah. Trading Johnson would also mean Cincinnati would take an $8 million salary cap hit, but that amount could be split over the next 2 years. Additionally, as one owner who wished to remain anonymous told ESPN.com, there's nothing wrong with dead money. It's cash already paid, and it's cash back in your pocket, and you don't have to spend, especially with the high amount of everyone's salary cap these days.
Right.
That's what you guys were saying.
Plus, I'll give you.
You have to pay his salary, so you're sending good money after bad, or bad money after good, whatever
but
it is.
See, I'll even take it a step further. In this particular case with Cincinnati, and Florio's been writing about this, with Mike Brown... He don't care. That's just less on the salary cap that he has to spend. He's actually going to save money in the long run.
Let's see.
That's probably why he's like two first-round picks. Christ sakes, I got to sign both those guys. I want four fours.
You can't discount that with that guy. That's why if he was doing,
laughable,
you know, it might be a double standard, but if he was doing what Miami is doing, supposedly, and we haven't seen the terms yet of Jake Long's deal, people would be up in arms. But there's a track record involved there. Cincinnati is a cheap organization that has annually not spent the amount of money that they probably want the salary cap to go away. They're one of the few teams. They want to have that uncapped year. Because the floor also goes away.
Right, that's right. Rob in New England, on a previous podcast, a listener suggested PFW in Progress branded bathroom wipes with each of your individual pictures in the boxes. Whatever you do, do not do this. If you do make PFW bathroom wipes, only put Eric with a K's picture on the box, or they will all be returned as defective. Eric's the only one out of the lot that will take crap from people.
See what he did there.
It took him 2 weeks to think that up.
Certainly took the long road to
Grandma's
house.
I thought there was
going to
be a better punchline.
He's the one who really knows his way around a butthole or like.
I was expecting something,
better like that.
I thought he was going to say he's the only one I want to wipe my ass with.
That's what I thought he was going with.
Oh, I see. I thought it was going to be a gay reference. Like you've
no,
seen
I thought
more
he was
butt
setting up
than
for
a toadsy kind
of. Actually sort of a
yeah, just so you guys know, these aren't funny if they're not shots at Eric at the end. Right. If you're defending him, we're not going
to
laugh.
In you future. Might not have listened to this show too many times.
In the future, direct your comments at Eric.
A lot of emails here about women's eggs.
not about the draft.
It is illegal for a woman to sell her eggs within the UK, but egg donation is big business in the US where childless couples pay up to £20,000 in exchange for the eggs of a healthy young woman.
Isn't that like $40,000?
Yes.
So I was grossly undershooting what you can make.
Let's see. Donating an egg is not that easy, says Bill. It is major surgery.
Oh, come on. How major is it?
So you can't do it once a month.
If it's on you, it's major.
I have heard that now that I think of it.
I don't have eggs.
No,
I think I was pushing Allison to do this before, and she said something about it's a very complicated and painful thing to get the egg out.
Come on. Martin says, I just had to jump in on this egg donation conversation really quickly. Trust me, I'd be a millionaire by now if you could do this every month as easily as you guys can donate sperm.
Who's this?
Christy Martin is her name.
I thought you said yeah.
Egg donation.
Is that the female boxing champion?
I don't know.
Her name
oh yeah,
was Christy Martin.
Egg donation is much more complicated. Hence the big payoff. From what I've read, in addition to all the medical screening, which is far more intense than the male equivalent, you also have to take a few months of fertility drugs to increase
yeah,
your egg
right.
production. Then they go in and harvest the eggs, which is a hell of a lot more invasive than the male process. It's surgery, not 5 minutes alone in a room with some literature. Also, I don't think
literature's optional. Video will work just fine.
Also, I don't think they just accept eggs and store them. You sign up, then they match you with another woman who wants those eggs.
I know
eggs.
From experience.
Then they start the whole process.
I do.
It sounds like a real pain in the ass. Actually, they have to pay me a lot more than $15,000 to go through all that.
Yeah, well, he just said it was 40.
You're not going to do that to your wife.
Now that I think of it, I did check on this before when I heard about the money. But to show you how bad it is, I said to Allison, I can't put you through that. Now, you know it has to be
I don't believe
bad.
That for a second.
No, and that's how bad it is. Like, it's so much work and stuff like that that it's not worth the
So why
the
don't you just go to the sperm bank every day?
For $25? I mean, I do it for free. I might as well get paid.
It's going to be thrown in the garbage. You might as well.
Larry wants to know what our hours will be Saturday and Sunday.
Dude,
we'll say
why don't you
again.
Tell him, Fred?
Saturday, 3 to 6. Sunday, 12 to 3.
All right.
Well now, done. They're just going to come up and say the Dolphins pick Jake Long, right? They're not going to do that where they wait for 3 or 4 minutes because I really hate
I hope
that.
Not. I don't know. Fred thinks they're going to come up and say Dolphins select Vernon Golston.
Hey, New England on the news. What do they got?
And they'll have to, I'm telling you, what's going to happen? They have to pay them both.
Let's see. Sven is from Germany.
Sven?
Says he's from Augsburg, Germany.
Gary?
Another pin.
Gary's taking the day off in there.
I've been listening to your show since the loss in Super Bowl, and I really love it. I can never wait for the next episode. I was only able to watch some of the Pats games on TV, so I don't really take much notice about the other stuff like free agency drafts and so on. With your both funny and interesting show, my interest for everything else started, and I'm always looking if I can find some more news. Now my question, is there any chance the Pats will sign the Eagles' Lito Shepard, or is it more likely that Brandon Merriweather will play cornerback?
I think there's a chance that Lito Shepard gets traded, yes. From talking to the guy in Philadelphia last month, the Eagles are intent on dealing him, and I think the Patriots would have some interest there, although I haven't seen anything official from any Patriots personnel on that.
But their trade MO is...
No, you're not going to hear about that until
Patriots traded for Lito Shepard.
But I am told that Philadelphia will be dealing Lito Shepard.
Just to clarify, Paul, that wasn't Connor. He was getting driven back 15 yards
by the other
guy who wasn't a first pick of the draft. It's funny because the next time you see it, there's 45 on Long. And if you look next to him, Connor's getting driven back the same way. Sorry,
call
Fred.
Oh,
well. I think Shepard is definitely going to get traded. I think it's just right now the Eagles are asking for a price. Teams don't want to pay that price. At some point, they're going to have to meet in the middle.
Would you trade the 7 pick for Lito Shepard, Fred?
Yes.
I would, too.
Straight up?
I was a little surprised
Straight
that you had to lean forward. And
plus, I got to pay his contract. So.
Then how come the deal's not done yet?
I don't know.
Doesn't he want a new deal, though? Isn't that the heart of this whole
Because
would
the Eagles take the 7th pick in about a half a second?
I would
Lito
think.
Shepard?
Right. But yeah. I think the Patriots would say, we have to have a deal with Shepard.
right?
Or yeah. they wouldn't want to trade the seventh pick for him.
I don't know.
Right. If yeah. they're not going to get him at a palatable contract, they're not going to trade.
Because if I'm the Eagles and I can get seven for a guy you're going to trade anyway,
yep.
I'd be jumping all over.
Well, they're going to try to sign him for less than Samuel, or else.
And he wants.
Why not? Why would,
right? would you guys do that?
Now we're back to the whole question that I have at first.
I think
I'm
going to
hand
$20 million
to some corner. Why wasn't it Asante thing?
And I right. think Fred, that's the reason why he's not going to come to New England.
Fred's in. Would you guys make the deal?
No.
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 I would take my chances with who I got in the secondary and go for Golston.
I certainly wouldn't
there.
Do that.
Okay.
No, I mean, instead of, you know, I wouldn't trade. I wouldn't select a D-back at seven.
I like
cornerback.
Is the
like
determinant
Shepard,
the contract?
Seventh
pick for Shepard's pretty fair, wouldn't you say?
But I think
when
it's
you,
a little high.
When you add in the.
Maybe I'm working on an old school of.
When you add the contract in, I think it's a little tough.
I think the landscape is changing in draft pick for player trades.
See, I
because I don't think Jared Allen's worth the 17th pick.
I'm not a good it's what guy
know.
To get my
you
opinion
know?
From because I'm used to seeing him play against the Cowboys, and if he plays that way, then I trade the first pick for him. But you know, maybe the what's his name from Philly, the Philly fan, TG and NJ, is he the Philly fan?
He's from Jersey.
Yeah, I know, but that's like 2 minutes from...
Right, South Jersey is like Eagles country.
I think he's the guy who watches the Eagles. I'd like to hear what he thinks about Shepard's overall week-to-week performance and not just when he plays
And
Dallas.
I told you that the gentleman I did speak with in Philadelphia was very critical of him
right.
when the lights weren't on. You know, basically the big games, you know, he would show up. He was, you know, he pointed to the Patriots game last year as one of his better games. Mm-hmm. He always played well against T.O., against Dallas. But he said there was a game they played Seattle at Philly that the field was a little wet. He asked out of the game in the middle of the first quarter, complaining about his footing and was kind of afraid of getting hurt. And he's a very selfish player.
And the Patriots don't like guys like that
no.
who play when the lights are
right.
on, but when they're not on, you're nowhere to be found.
No, they like the consistency.
Plus, Paul, if you're gonna pay or redo his contract, Shepard's contract. And give him the money that he wants. My argument is you just should have paid Samuel.
Right. That's the argument.
That's Andy's argument.
Because
yeah,
instead
I agree.
Remember
with
the first
you.
Guy we had who had three first-round picks because we traded mm-hmm. Samuel for a first? Now somehow I lost Samuel, traded a first, and ended up with a corner. How did I end up losing a first-round pick and only ended up with a corner? It just doesn't make any sense to me in any way.
This is how I see it. I think Merriweather's getting moved to corner. I think Bill feels pretty good. With Hobbs, Merriweather, and those veteran guys he signed, he's going to pick up another corner in the draft, mm-hmm. whether it be round two, three, right. whatever. So I think he's looking at it, and we all know that corner's not the biggest position when it comes to him.
He thinks he can scheme.
So I don't see, and this is what I thought all along based on value in that, there's no way they're taking a corner in that first round.
No,
like
no way.
None.
No way.
So I think with a switch with Merriweather, they're feeling we're okay. Then if you get up another pass rusher like Golston, now you got Vrabel, you got Golston, you got Adalys Thomas. You got guys who can really get to the quarterback.
Because right. it's his whole theory where there's only so many big, fast guys to go around. Well, he doesn't say there's only so many 180-pound guys to go around.
All the great teams go with that theory.
Right.
That the big, fast guys on both sides of the ball, that's how you build your team. Those are the guys you draft in the top 10. And we all know Bill
right.
is very, and that's why you got to feel it's going to be Golston.
So using
it's be a guy
that,
like that
theory, Rivers is less of a reach because at least he's a big, fast guy. He's 242 pounds and 6'2".
And what are we talking? Where's Rivers going to go? 11, 12?
Right. That's what I mean.
It's a five spot. We're not talking about taking Dan Connor at 7, who may go in the second round. I'm just using him as an example, as another guy who's a highly rated linebacker, but
that's
would be a
days.
Reach.
Right, right.
Were you there that year that he made that comment? It was the draft. It might have been around 01 or 02, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Then yes, Paul.
The guys that could rush the passer and score touchdowns mm-hmm. are the highest priority in the draft
mm-hmm.
because they're the ones that are hardest to find. I've kind of always kept that in mind.
Well, I
definitely
agree
with the pass rusher. If you got a guy, and we can't scout Golston like they do, but if you think he can get to the quarterback, draft him. Now, I don't care if he can
right.
drop in cover. If he can put pressure on the
yeah.
quarterback, you
now,
select him.
To be fair, this is how you get in trouble because you draft a guy who's big and fast and he can't play football.
Yeah, but that's
but
they'll know.
But
that's
pure,
their job.
I mean, they'll know. Yeah,
it's pure science to say there's less people on this planet that are 245 pounds that are 6'3" tall and can run a 4.440 than there are 185-pound guys who can, you know, there's just more of those people. Look at Eric.
180 pounds? Are you kidding me?
What do you weigh?
Yeah.
You
got
you have to have 150-pound
weight
with
him. 180. Less than 180.
What? A little less than 180?
No,
you're lucky you're 150.
Somewhere in between. That's what I said.
Yeah, but if you had hair, you'd be 180.
No, if I had mini Gary's hair, I'd be 180.
Let's see. Strippers, early in the show, we were talking about Alicia Keys. He said she has a nice face but a big ass.
She's not attractive. See, nice face? She's not hot. He didn't say, yes, she's hot.
Dana
yeah, that's
says,
a man that works hot, in the business.
Dana says, hot or not.
Dana says she's hot. Andy is clearly the gay one of the show.
Agreed.
I agree. He's the Cartman of BFW.
He really is.
He pretends so hard that he's not gay that he actually is gay.
I don't think this.
Very funny, you guys.
One professional has emailed in, and he has said, quote, she has a pretty face. That's not hot.
He didn't. He also
strippers. Porn stars.
He also didn't answer the
question. And strippers are hot. They're blondes with big boobs.
We want the answer to be hot or not.
And strippers was not.
Right.
I translated it for you.
Yeah.
This other person was hot and clearly drunk.
But strippers is comparing it to a whole different thing.
Yeah. We're not putting her in that class.
I'm not saying she's porn star hot.
I don't think she's 11th grader at Foxborough High hot.
Well, then you're out of your mind.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Not hot.
She's not 12th grader at Foxborough.
If you were walking.
I didn't even think of that. I was just pulling like a random.
I thought that's where you were going with
no,
that.
No, I was just.
You're out of your mind.
Let's
By
see.
The way, she's not hot either.
Chris Simonelli says that Charlie Casserly has Jared Mayo at number 7 in his mock draft.
What?
I really like him a lot, but not top 10.
You want to talk? That's a good point. I'm glad that email came in. You want to talk about what Fred was saying earlier? There you go.
That would be a guy that would surprise
now,
me.
Now, there's a guy we all love, and I'd more than be love to have him on the Patriots. But if they took him at 7, that's where we would be
now,
sitting.
Isn't he the guy that Mel in the debate said there's no difference between
Rivers.
And him? Now, I don't really want Rivers at number 7 either, but
That's a shocker, though.
I haven't seen anybody that said Mayo was a top 12
Of course,
pick.
Nobody saw what's-his-name down in Houston when Casserly was making the picks down there either.
But Mario,
Reggie Bush,
Williams.
The selection is Mario Williams.
But Mario Williams was a top 5 pick anyway.
But no one saw him as 1.
No one saw him as 1.
My guess is from just things I hear, the two guys who are going to go higher than most people think are Mayo and what we were just talking about, Quentin Groves. I wouldn't be surprised if Groves is a top 25 pick because he can do the one thing teams crave.
Right.
He can rush the passer. And those are guys I think that are going to get drafted higher. Now, 7, that would be that's an interesting one, though. Because if they had him rated higher than
those
Rivers,
would be surprises. Those would be
true. If we say Rivers, and if they think he's better than Rivers, then
and I wouldn't put it past Bill to have his evaluations. He's stacking that board at that position, and he's got Groves or Mayo higher than those other guys, and all of a sudden,
yeah, because he doesn't care.
That would qualify to be that to fit Fred's situation.
Oh God,
that would
surprise. That would stun
and me. We think those guys are very good. I love both of those players, Mayo and Groves. I think they're very good.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's not doing Jerry Jones calling up Mel Kiper saying, you like Felix Jones or you like Jonathan Stewart?
Let's see. Joel says, good to have Chewbacca back. And, Eric, we have one word for 35-year-old guys who aren't interested in dating. It's called gay.
No.
And it's okay to be gay,
no.
But you don't need to be hosting PFW.
Stop reading. I never said I wasn't interested.
That's what you implied.
No, I said I'm not worried about it anymore. I don't, if it happens, great.
If I was single at my age, it would be worrying the hell out of me. I wouldn't be eating. I wouldn't be sleeping.
Listen,
I wouldn't come to work.
I worried for enough years. I'm tired of worrying. So
But you're just giving up. That means,
I didn't say I'm giving up.
But try, man. Try.
I do try.
Try.
You have a few things to offer.
I do.
What?
I do try, Tom. I'm just saying I don't obsess about it all day and all night.
Did you used to?
What's that?
Did you used to obsess about it?
I used to get a little worried.
Really?
Yeah. But now I don't worry about it anymore.
So you've given up.
I have not given up. When I meet girls that I like, I make an effort. And then if it doesn't happen, you want to eat my salad?
You're not going to get me on this. I know what happens when you leave college. You stop meeting women.
That's not true, Tom.
Well, where do you meet them?
He's got women lined up.
Well, you're not answering the question.
I don't know if I want to go into
this topic
right now. At the
Hammond dinner at church.
I don't want to go into this right now. Because it's the 10.
We got 10 minutes. We got 12.
I met someone this weekend. How about
you
that?
You did?
Why?
Yes.
At the Paw Sox?
I was happy.
At the Paw Sox?
Yes, at the Paw Sox.
Yes.
Did you really?
A true Rhode Island love connection at McCoy Stadium.
Nice.
I'm happy. This is only the second girl he's made up.
See, this is exactly why I don't want to bother with
you. Is she cute?
Wait, let's get a little bit more.
I'll show you a picture later.
You already got a picture of her? Whoa. You just met her, now
creepy.
You got a picture of her?
You've already traced her?
No.
Her?
See, that'll get you in trouble. If you smother them, they won't.
Ask Dave Dudek.
Well, we used to have a guy here. He'd get a girlfriend, and the next day she'd be on his wallpaper. On his,
he'd have a framed picture
it's
beside
like
his
after
computer.
Day one. It's like, you can't do that.
Oh, the dude man, Dave Dudek.
Love advice from Fred. Oh, dear.
You got to play a little hard to get.
Yeah, you got
to
take Fred and I's advice. Two guys that got fixed up by their friends. Yeah.
And a guy who met his wife on the internet. Take our advice.
Hello, this
that's,
is
that's
Trinity
true.
Pride.
Tom's in our group, too. Andy's the only one. He just got married, the first girl that said hi to him.
Right.
He's been going out with us since they were in the fourth grade.
And you made the right move. I wish I had done that.
He did.
Hey, let's get more on this.
No, come let's
on.
Not.
What
no.
is she
not. Let's not.
Why?
Andy.
Is she listening?
Not.
What? Is she listening?
I don't know.
No, because if she was listening,
well,
would have
I guess I'm wrong because
place.
I was
going
to say,
the Dodgers are about to have. Maybe they're announcing that it's not true.
Brett's still not buying it.
We'd like to address the rumors that are out there
and
right now.
The funny thing is this is, I think, the earliest this has ever happened.
Yeah, I think
it's early. There's Connor over there.
I was just going to say, I saw Connor that time. Number 65 was killing him.
I just think it's funny that Fred didn't believe it. And on Tuesday before the draft, they're holding a press conference
right.
to say, tell us who they drafted.
Enough about Eric, though. Paul, you seem to be of the opinion that no New Englanders like that episode of South Park. I think that was me.
Well, I think you were all.
Paul was making an argument that because they weren't writing in.
When you, yeah, I was wondering a couple of weeks
ago. I said
ago,
I didn't
when
think it was
no
that
one,
funny.
When no one said... No one wrote in and no one talked about it. I thought that maybe they were upset. And then when you came on, when we got your first impressions, you said you didn't think it was funny. I said,
how
I guess...
do I reach these feet?
I was just, I came to the conclusion that people must not have thought it was as funny as Tom, Andy, and I, and Eric.
I'm a Pats fan, and I think for the first time South Park was funny. The Beal Belichick thing was hilarious. The mouse thing, however, was way overplayed. It just started
Agreed.
Dragging. And now on to the Patriots.
Well, I thought that
Andy,
was funny too.
You're making way too much about Tom Brady not being there. And please, whoever compared him not being there to Matt Light being there, come on. Matt needs to be there. He needs to work on learning how to stay on sides. We're not talking Tony Romo or Matt Leinart. Please. This is Tom freaking Brady. His work ethic
it's
is well enough
to
established. So if he wants to take a spring off and fetch some mail or maybe a cup of coffee for Giselle, go for it, okay? Out of the following groups, and then he wants
who
to play a game.
This?
We're not going to do that.
Who is this, Fred?
Joel and Merrimack.
Well,
he kills
Bill
Joel.
And Foxborough.
We're not going
to
do that.
That's fine to have that opinion, Joel, but if, God forbid, something happens to Brady this season, don't you dare come back and say it was because he took time off in the spring.
And if Randy Moss, as Tom says, you know, looks at it and says, well, if Brady's not going, why the bleep am I going?
Just real quick, Tony Romo didn't need his team to go out and sign 8 wide receivers to put up big numbers. So,
wow.
Mr. 22 touchdowns a year,
oh.
Brady.
Oh,
so you're going to now compare Tom Brady to Tony Romo.
No, I do have a
– Let's keep that on
I
record.
Have a serious question, though, to ask you
guys. That was good passion coming back at Fred, though. I like it.
Mr. 22 touchdowns a year.
Well, I don't understand why you put Romo in the same category.
He got really mad because he threw Romo in there as his example.
Someone asked me this weekend, you know, would Tom Brady be Tom Brady if the Patriots didn't draft him? And my answer was, I think guys like him and Kurt Warner always had starting ability. Maybe the scouts missed it or they found, you know, I think they have the ability to play in the NFL. But I think it's so important where you get drafted. I think
right.
he'd be a starting NFL quarterback, but would he be Tom Brady? Probably not.
Right.
You guys agree with that?
How come your mic keeps – are you not near your mic or something?
Are you off?
It's the whole butterfly effect. If one thing changes, how does it trickle down
right.
and change
I
everything?
I think he'd still be good, maybe not as great.
Yeah.
I mean, you got him,
of course,
you got
it
Belichick.
Depends on when he met Giselle and stopped going to work out.
And then, you know, they signed all those receivers for him, so he stopped crying.
I just want to point out, this week he was spending it on the West Coast with one of the members of our production department who was attending Eddie Vedder concerts.
Damn right.
I kind of differed with you on the importance of whether or not he's here right now last week, and I still do. I think you're making a little bit more out of it than it needs to be.
Of course I am. That's what I do.
But I don't think it has anything at all to do with his track record. I mean, just because he's, you know, a perennial All-Pro and the MVP of the league doesn't mean that he no longer needs to be here.
It's not that. It's just
that's
that,
what the email is implying.
Do you trust his judgment? Do you trust Tom Brady's judgment about what
he
needs to do?
I don't trust any player's judgment if it involves not doing what the rest of the team
right.
is doing.
I don't. But the point I'm trying to, Fred, the point I'm trying to make is I'm not convinced that Tom Brady is going to go about this offseason any differently than he has the last 8 of them.
Yeah, Paul believes he hasn't been working out for years.
Now, if he doesn't, if he makes a change away, I don't trust that he's going to make a change for the better. No, I don't. I want him to do what he does every other year. And if that's not what's happening here, then I'll be on Andy's board, and I would be a little concerned about it. But I'm not convinced that he's always here all of these days in April every year.
I'm
not convinced of that.
He's not.
So I'm not worried
about
it.
And I trust Tom Brady's judgment.
Now, if we get to June
he's
and he hasn't
earned my trust.
If we get to June and he hasn't been here, then I'm going to be
concerned.
Why
hasn't he earned your trust?
Because every other year he's been here.
Why?
See, I'm not convinced
of
that.
Why hasn't he earned your trust?
Because it's not about trust. It's about this is what we do. When April and March, late March and April start, we have off-season programs.
Why hasn't Tom Brady earned your trust?
I'm not worried about him.
He's earned mine, Fred.
I know he has.
He's
Paul.
Earned mine. Fred.
Good. You get a cookie.
Thanks.
But Fred.
That's exactly Fred, what I was looking for.
Fred, your point, like what I just said, Romo, if it was Romo, then I would be annoyed. Because to me, Romo hasn't earned my trust yet. Where Brady, I'm going to say that he's the last guy on this team that we have to worry about being prepared for the season.
Bottom of the list of things to worry about.
I agree with all of that.
But I'm just not convinced that this is any different. If this was a lot different than what he's done in the last couple of off seasons. I'm with Andy. I'm concerned.
I am on board with Andy on this one. I kind of think
Eric, you're a very smart and astute observer of the game of football.
Further proof that he could just
right.
He could care less who's in, who's involved with
this
wind's
new beauty. Right. I think she's the one.
Any port in a storm.
Let's see.
Wait,
Stephen
Edmonds.
Yes. Tom
Eric
has Scalabino
breaking news.
Adam Schefter of NFL Network reports that tackle Jake Long will receive $30 million guaranteed as part of his five-year, $57.5 million deal with the Dolphins. Long will get $2 million less in guaranteed money and $3.5 million less in total money than Raiders quarterback Jamarcus Russell received a year ago, but Long is tied up for one less season. For Parcells, it's a win because he paid less money. For Long and his agent, it's a win because the deal covers one less season.
Apparently, Bill Parcells now goes to the Chris Ferreira School of Economics. You got him for a year less. You didn't pay less money. You got him for a year less.
Well, Adam Schefter went to the...
Well, whoever's... but if Parcells thinks he got a deal, he didn't.
But if he got $2 million less in guaranteed money...
You have to pay an elite tackle $6 million.
Big deal.
He
but
didn't get
not,
a deal
but
on
it's
any
not
level.
The same. It's only 5 years instead of six. If it was six, he would have gotten the same.
Right.
He would have gotten more. I think the Dolphins got hosed.
Yeah, I do too.
Fred, are we right here? I mean, you're the business.
Well, the question
here.
Is, you know, if he got hurt and they had to pay him the guaranteed money,
they're drafting him, assuming he's going to be very good.
They would save about $2 million. But who cares? But, what I'm
that's
saying.
A defeatist
not like
theory.
So what?
If he
not
breaks
like
his leg,
we saved $1 million.
No,
well, then don't draft anybody.
Look, I think the guy got
he got a good deal.
Those beginning years of your contract are the most critical years. I mean, you want to get to free agency as soon as possible.
That's almost as profound as the Bruins need more goal scorers.
So if you can get that extra year off, that's much more valuable than $2 million.
He's got $30 million in the bank, and he's going to get another chunk of change when this one's up, assuming he doesn't break his leg and end his career.
Yeah.
Quick side note: when did Montreal become loser central? You beat the number 8 seed in Game 7, and we're lighting police cars on fire. The hell is that?
They're crazy up there.
I mean, did you see that, Fred?
No, I didn't.
You got mad because the Red Sox won a division and had a little party on the field. The fans of Montreal are burning cars in the streets of the city.
That's ridiculous.
They beat an 8 seed in Game 7.
Yep.
You're losers. You're not winners.
And they were lucky to win the series.
Right.
Too.
Against a team that, as Fred says, has no goal scorers.
And David Pollock retires.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I don't like to see that.
I don't like to see it either, although...
Although apparently Paul doesn't think it's too bad.
No. I definitely
next
don't like
Marquise Hill.
I don't like to see guys get injured. You know that. I'm not like Fred. I don't root for opposition to get hurt.
Holy Moses!
But I didn't think he was that good of a player, and I'm
I'm
kind of disappointed. I never got a chance to prove it because
what is wrong with you?
He broke his freaking neck.
All right, it really is. A guy breaks his neck, and Paul's the one who loses out.
I lost my credibility.
What the hell are you talking about over there?
The more I let you guys talk, the better I look. All right.
Time are you on Saturday?
Noon. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Going to talk more draft, I hope, leading up to this big, big weekend. We'll talk to you then.